scratch about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Today we have a very, very special guest in the studio. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
My name is Al, but you can call me Weird Al Yankovic, sir.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
It says on your website that you were a spelling bee winner.
Yes, that is true.
And did that negatively or positively affect your childhood?
Are you kidding me? The girls wanted to have me, and the guys wanted to be me. I was the big man on campus, man. Once you're a spelling bee winner.
And the accordion player as well.
That's right.
So that's
an awesome
hand.
Double punch. 1, 2.
Frank. Sure, you think I'm a big hero, the man of the hour. Well, do any of you understand how a man can hurt inside?
Frank, they're not here for you. Weird Al Yankovic is on the plane.
Al Yankovic blew his brains out in the late 80s after people stopped buying his records.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You want showmanship? You got it.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What the hell?
Roll another one.
I'm not tired of commercials.
Just like the other one.
What's that all about?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Very well, job done, baby.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, Dick.
Weird Al Yankovic.
Roll another one.
Chicks and midgets, bam.
Just like the other one.
Did somebody order a hooker over here?
This one seems to be about cement.
Well, are you ready for the big one?
I don't have another cent.
It's getting more like communism saying we're going to do this and do that.
You black man?
Just pass it around.
He was riding dirty.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Holla, beach out.
But just pass it on down.
And now.
Suddenly there's a knock on the door. Well, now who could that be? I say, who is it? No answer. Who is it? There's no answer. Who is it?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:35. It's Friday, the 18th of July.
It's Al Yankovic Day on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yes, it is.
Right?
Yeah. Look, everybody loves Al.
Everybody loves Al.
I love Al.
Al's got America's number one best-selling album right now.
You said that 15 times the last 2 days. But
I think it's worth mentioning.
But you might be a little over the top. It's very possible.
Impossible to be too excited about Al.
It is possible, I think. You say he's the greatest human being on the planet ever?
Absolutely. Unquestionably.
And that's not an overstatement.
You claim that's an exaggeration?
Yes.
Well, then prove otherwise.
You'll have to give me some time, but I will.
Exactly. Exactly.
I will. No, I will.
Hey, Malaysian Airlines, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that happened.
What?
Yeah.
This one...
This one got shot down with a surface-to-air missile.
Right. And it doesn't appear that it's Malaysian Airlines' fault. I mean,
right.
Some airlines have been avoiding that airspace. Others have not. Other planes, that yesterday, during the day, went through the same airspace. So it's not like they violated the rules or made a stupid decision, I don't think. Is it just bad luck that their airlines, you know, just 4 months after they lost one, their airline gets one shot down?
It seems like it.
It sure does, doesn't it?
But, wow, what poor bastards. Imagine trying to run an airline with that kind of stuff happening.
How do you – I mean, I don't know how you come back from this. I mean, even if it's not their fault, imagine how difficult it's going to be for people to make that decision to fly Malaysian Airlines again. People are going to look at that and go, it's not worth it, right?
Yeah, you know what? I remember that thing, and then I remember that thing.
Yeah, I think you get one thing. I think you can get away with one thing. Second thing for a lot of people is a deal breaker. A lot of new news is emerging as they continue to sift through the wreckage and identify bodies and try to figure out exactly what happened. A lot of, you know, these days, the one good thing is there's always lots of videos, always lots of people shooting videos. So they got a lot of evidence coming in from multiple sources to try to put the pieces together in the flight's final minutes. One sidebar story, though, involves a woman in Australia. Her name is Kaylee Mann. And unfortunately, her brother and sister-in-law were on board Flight 370 when it vanished in March.
Oh.
And you see where this is headed?
Yep.
As her stepdaughter was on the plane yesterday.
Nope.
That was shot down.
That's not possible.
Her brother said, "It's just brought everyone, everything back. It's just ripped our guts out again. The family is struggling to understand how they could be struck by such horrible luck on two separate occasions with the same airline. She just lost her brother and now a stepdaughter."
What are the odds that
one
family would have somebody on both planes?
Yeah, it's inconceivable. It really is. Her stepdaughter and husband were returning home from a four-week holiday in Europe. They were lovely people. You'd never hear a bad word about them. Very generous with their time in the community, community-minded, very entertaining people to be with. And they were on their way back from vacation when the plane got shut down. Nobody could predict they were going to get shut down. That was out of their hands. So this poor woman, I can't even imagine. You know, you hear lots of stories about people who have, you know, friends or family members that die close to each other. And you go, wow, that's awful. But at least in most cases, there's, you know, some sort of heads up or rhyme or reason or something like that. These are both just two events that have astronomical odds against happening.
Yeah. Especially
in your
lifetime. The same airline, and especially to one family with people on both.
Yeah. Within 4 months of one another. I mean, let's face it. No one we know is ever going to lose somebody on an airplane. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then to have it happen twice. It's just terrible, terrible story. I mean, the whole story is bad. It's bad for everybody, but it has to be considered particularly bad for this poor woman, Kaylee Mann.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I heard something on the way in that was sort of weird to me, and that is that they're trying to find the black box.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard a reporter say that the box is not black.
That's correct. I think it's orange, isn't it? Or red or something.
There's two words describing that box. One of them is a color.
Right.
Well, that's poorly named.
It is indeed poorly named.
The box is not black?
I guess
thought
not.
My whole life it was black. You know why? They call it the black box.
And I have always
What's up
I've
with
heard
that?
This, I've heard this question asked on the same topic, which is if the black box is in something that is indestructible, the reason they pack it that way is so that it cannot be damaged when it falls out of the sky from 30,000 feet, go ahead and make the whole plane out of that.
Yeah, I don't know that would fly, but
yeah, maybe. I don't know either. But it seems like.
But the black box is not black.
They found the cockpit voice recorder, I understand. But I think you're right. I think they're still looking for the black box to try to put pieces together. Because you know, another reason why they think it was definitely shot down is there were, you know, no indications from any of the mechanics on the plane that there was a problem. There were no distress calls or anything like that. So
right.
It appears to have happened suddenly and without any warning.
Well, that's not good news. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
That's a great idea. This is like the best idea you've ever had.
We have comedian Jim Norton in the studio, talking about his show on Vice.com.
Mm-hmm.
We have Casey Catanzaro, I want to say. She's the first female to ever accomplish the American Ninja course, which is supposedly unbeatable. And she just destroyed it.
Yeah. It didn't look tough for her. Looks like she could have done it again.
We have Rob Corddry on the phone today, talking about the new movie Sex Tape. Love him. We have your tickets for Comic-Con today. And that's it. That's all I see. So,
and Al.
Should be a good show. Oh, Al. Yeah, Weird Al Yankovic.
Right. Yeah.
He's coming by as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
You know how sometimes we try to give stuff away to people super early in the morning because it sucks that they have to be up?
Yes.
Check this out. Tomorrow, on a Saturday, at 6 a.m. At Knott's Berry Farm in the East parking lot, we're giving away free Knott's Berry Farm tickets to the first 1,067 people who put the new K-Rock Summer sticker on their car. So you show up in the parking lot, and you get free tickets to Knott's Berry Farm. That's a pretty good deal.
That's not bad.
Yeah, and the new K-Rock Summer sticker, too, which is available at all Southern California Hot Topic locations. Get the details at krock.com. Ralph is here. It's not quite 6 o'clock yet, but time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
All righty. If you've been on the fence
Have you been debating whether to be a supermodel or not? Say, maybe, I don't know. Do I really want to commit that kind of time?
Of course
not?
I could, but...
Of course you could.
Should I?
But a lot of people ask you, Kevin, to do it.
Right.
Right. I mean, and Kevin, you know, it's hard being good at so many things.
That's
true. He's a brilliant broadcaster, but he's also stunningly handsome, and he could easily be a supermodel.
Stretch pretty thin, got to be honest.
Well, this may sway you to the side of supermodeldom.
All right.
Forbes magazine has announced who they have calculated is the top-earning model in the world.
Okay.
Any guesses? What supermodel do you think is the biggest moneymaker?
Biggest moneymaker?
Mm-hmm. Top-earning model in the world.
Adriana Lima?
No. It's a good guess. But wrong.
Giselle?
Giselle Bündchen.
Ah, sure.
Oh, it is. Okay.
It is Giselle Bündchen. Yes. Top-earning model in the world, raking in last year. What do you think she made modeling last year?
$50 million?
Very close. $47 million.
In 1 year.
On last year. Based on the hours worked, Forbes did the math and determined that Giselle makes $128,000 a day at her job.
Wow.
Coincidentally, just what we make here at K-Rock.
I'll do that, then.
$128,000 a day. The average supermodel, excuse me, earns $30,000 a day.
That's
but
all?
When you factor in the cost of food, it comes out to $30,000 a day.
Because they don't eat.
See what I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike Sorrentino.
Hey, Ralph.
Uh-huh.
I hate to back up here.
Since
but
when?
Does she make more money than her husband? By far?
I don't know what Tom Brady's contract calls for. I don't think it's over $47 million.
I don't think so either.
Make that much.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's probably making
crazy.
In the 20s somewhere. 20
crazy when you think about the freaking quarterback for the New England Patriots, who you would think has got to be one of the highest paid people in all of sports, yet his income is dwarfed by his wife.
Yeah, but he works 16 weeks out of the year.
Sure.
Well, I'm not sure.
She's working all year round, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
He works like a
I'm
day
sure
a month.
He works 60
yeah, exactly.
days out of the year, really. 60
yeah.
Sundays, really. That's it. That's all his job entails. That's all.
Yeah.
He shows up to work.
And that's not endorsements or anything else. That's
this is
just
modeling work.
Wow.
Yeah.
That family's doing all right.
They do okay.
All right, they don't need the scrimp.
I'll do that
they're
then.
They're comfortable. Mike Sorrentino has announced he no longer wants to be known as The Situation.
Too bad.
He tells In Touch magazine that he's moved on from that guy. He's been sober for the past 2 years. He's a much better and more sensitive person. So don't call him The Situation anymore. I feel bad because we were the one who forced that nickname on him, remember? We kept calling him The Situation.
No,
and he said, no, I don't want to be known as that. I mean, he would never refer to himself as The Situation. He
I
would never use it in conversation.
He called himself that.
What?
Yeah, that's where we got it from.
Just in case you do get into a situation, I want to make sure that you are situated. Because if you do get into a situation with your situation, you may end up with a situation. And you may not like that situation.
Yeah, he clearly hated it.
Oh, F him. Don't call me that anymore. Dude, you know what? No, you've earned that. Now you're stuck with it.
Although I have to say, no one's calling him anything these days,
right?
We've all moved on past him in person.
He is now known as number 17 at the deli. That's
right.
All anyone ever calls his name out loud. That's the only time it happens.
You got to think before you get into a situation.
Yes.
PBYP, that ain't no PB&J sandwich.
Right. Boy, what an annoying guy. I forgot how annoying he was on that show until I heard one of those clips. And, you know, I've said for a long time, fashion is BS.
Sure. And it is.
Thank you. Here's proof. More proof, as if I didn't have overwhelming evidence on my side. The latest thing for men, new men's fashion, what we're all going to be wearing, according to the fashionistas, you can get them at Barney's, you can get them in many high-end men's clothing stores, fellas. You ready?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Tights.
Nope.
Tights for dudes. We're all going to walk around looking like the Merry Men from Sherwood Forest. Everyone's going to be wearing tights.
I don't think that's going to happen.
It's going to happen because fashion says so, because
fashion can't make me.
Fashion can make you, man. They'll apply the peer pressure, and they'll say, oh, everybody's doing it. Come buy our tights. Let's all put our tights on. So from now on, we're all going to be wearing tights. Or we're going to be wearing the other latest announcement, fragrance jeans.
Jeans to smell?
Scented skinny jeans that come in the several scents, blueberry, lemon, strawberry, orange, and apple. Your jeans will smell like fruit.
That's a terrible idea.
I want my tights to smell like fruit, too. I want to wear some fruity tights. As well as my fruity skinny jeans.
I don't see that happening.
Talk to me next year when you're wearing smelly jeans and tights. And I'll see you. Told you. Fashion says so.
No point in that. No point in that at all.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Chase Crawford, Private Eye, 29 years old today. Kristen Bell. Kristen Bell. Anna. She's Anna.
The voice of Anna from Frozen.
Yes.
Sorry. Yes.
She's the sister to the queen.
Yeah, I never saw that movie.
What?
I know.
But let's go. Right now, you, man. Let's go.
But you saw Transformers 4, though, right?
I did see that, yeah.
We'll cry together, Kevin. We'll cry. We'll laugh. We'll bond. It'll be a magical experience.
I wish I had seen Frozen instead of
Let It Go.
Transformers.
Let It Go.
Right. I know the song.
System of a Down guitarist Darren Malakian is 39 years old today. MIA is 39.
Has she been found?
File.
It's right there in her name.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel is 47 years old today. Kevin, you want to do your patented Vin Diesel impression for the kids?
I don't even remember what I used to do. What were the words that I used to say? I can't even remember that.
I don't know, man.
No, I can't do it. You're asking me too early.
It's the best time of the day it, really. Because your voice is already Wendy Williams is 50 years old today. She's got a television program that's broadcast on television.
And it's terrible.
She still has a TV show.
Yeah.
I've had about 20 failed pilots in my career.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy Williams, huge, huge success on television.
Well, look at all that talent, though.
Richard Branson. He's a cool dude.
Yeah, it's good to be him.
Absolutely.
It is good to be him. But on top of being rich and smart and stuff and everything, he seems like a good dude.
Absolutely, he does. A guy who really enjoys life, gives a lot back.
My friend Kevin Smith was on one of his Virgin flights, and he was also on it, Richard Branson. And they're both sitting up there in first class. And Richard said, I do this whenever I'm on a plane. Would you like to do it with me? And Kevin said, what are you talking about? He goes, I like to give out orange juice and water to the people. So he had the waitress bring him a tray. And he went up and down the aisles asking people if they wanted orange juice or sparkling water or whatever. And gave them stuff.
That would mess you up, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it cool? The owner of the airline comes by and gives you some orange juice.
Aren't you that guy? And then they look at Kevin Smith and go, aren't you that guy?
Because just handing out drinks.
That's weird.
He's 64, and James Brolin, big-time movie and TV star in the 70s, now probably best known for being Mr. Barbra Streisand. He is 74. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got a brand-new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup for you coming up in minutes, and comedian Jim Norton joins us next hour as well. First, though, it's Friday. That means it's time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has
Kevin's
been watching
hurry.
One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry. I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Were you quite done there, Bean, before the intro came in?
I was done.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
I think you hit it right on.
Thank
right.
you.
We're running
Suck
a tight
it,
ship here, Ralph.
You do. Wish I Was Here is the first movie we're looking at in the Movie Beat this weekend. The film, of course, perhaps best known, at least right now, as the film that Zach Braff raised all that money for on Kickstarter. Now here is the fruits of his labor and your money. Zach Braff stars along with Kate Hudson. He plays a man who finds himself at a major crossroads in his life. He forces him to examine his personal existence, his career, his family, and make some changes. Here are some clips from the trailer of Wish I Was Here.
For the next minute only, you can curse.
Then Harry Balls.
This is our father. You have to rally with me.
Absolutely not.
What's happening?
This... Oh,
what
my
God. You let her shave her face?
No, I was just innocently playing video games with the boy one.
Tucker.
Tucker, great kid.
When we were kids, my brother and I used to pretend that we were heroes, the only ones who could save the day. But maybe we're just the regular people, the ones who get saved.
All right. If you invested money in that, you may want to go check it out. See if you got your money's worth.
I like Zach Braff.
I do, too.
I think I enjoy his sensibility.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This movie looks a little too Garden State-y for me.
But Garden State was good.
It was really good. But I've seen
it. I want to see a ripoff.
But I find sometimes him a little heavy-handed with the philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
The sort of navel-gazing sort of in my own head, oh, what am I doing here kind of vibey thing.
And
every time
that.
I hear a voiceover, I just can't help but think of Scrubs.
Yeah.
That last bit right there reminds me of like him walking down the hallway of the hospital saying,
totally.
Oh, sometimes you just have to wonder about your friends and what you're doing. And
he's trying real hard to get you to feel things, though. That's for sure.
Look, there's nothing wrong with feeling things. And I'd rather someone err on that side than to make something mindless and sort of stupid.
I agree.
So I have to give him the benefit of the doubt. But just sometimes I feel a little manipulated. But that's just me. Planes, Fire and Rescue is our next film for the kids, you know. It's about planes.
Sure.
Save you and stuff. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with that? This is a Disney film. Not to be confused with Cars.
Right.
Which is a different kind of film. But it's a talking conveyance. So they've got similar vibes. Dane Cook stars. Ed Harris, Julie Bowen, and Curtis Armstrong all have voices in Planes, Fire, and Rescue. Here's some clips from the trailer.
Hey, Sugar Rims. You just fall out of a B-17? Because you're the bomb.
Pickup trucks.
Mr. Mayday.
Is that guy writing down everything I say?
Yes.
So he just wrote that down?
Yes.
And that?
Yes.
And that?
Yes.
Oh, Chevy.
You left me for a hybrid. I didn't even hear him coming.
Listen to my new siren.
Classy.
For the kids.
Sure.
Sure. Sex tape. Sex tape! Sex tape! This adult comedy is about a married couple who wake up to discover that the sex tape they made has gone out on the internet!
Yay!
What's happening with the sex tape?
Well, the little kids love that, is what I just heard from
you. Kids love it when you upload your sex tape to the cloud.
That's right.
And then they have to try to get it off the internet. You know how hard it is to get something off the internet?
Yeah, it's impossible.
That's right, Kevin.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't stop them from trying.
No.
They don't want all their friends and family to see their naughty business.
Too late.
What? What are they going to... But that's going to lead to hilarious hijinks. Yeah. Cameron Diaz and Jason Segel star in this film, along with Rob Corddry and Ellie Kemper. You remember her from The Office? What can I say?
Rob Corddry's in it.
Rob Corddry is in it, and he's always good.
Right.
I always find him wildly entertaining.
I like watching him no matter what.
That's right.
I like Jason Segel as well, by the way.
I do too. This movie, though, looks...
like a chance to see those people.
Like an opportunity to see those people on the screen.
Right.
Which is what we all long
in color
for.
And in focus.
Yes, and I bet the sound is excellent. I bet you hear almost every word they say.
That's probably true.
And probably... in playing in an air-conditioned theater, which would be uh-huh. nice and cool in these summer times to see a film in.
That's a good point.
Here's a scene from Sex Tape where Cameron Diaz surprises her husband, Jason Segel, by wearing a skimpy outfit.
Wow! Oh, hi. Wow. Look at you.
Too much?
No, it's great.
I was thinking.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
The kids, how long are they?
Sleeping over.
Yes!
Maybe we could celebrate. Just the two of us.
I get it. That's a great idea. Do you own these underwear?
Mm-hmm.
Because those, I've never seen those before.
Come on.
This is so exciting. I'm so excited right now.
Some of the comedy stylings of Sex Tape for your enjoyment. And then there's The Purge Anarchy. Oh, I don't know how you feel about The Purge when it comes around each and every year, but I try just to stay inside and just ignore it.
I think that's safest.
I find it just...
It's not
just,
a real thing.
Terrifying. Though. Every time The Purge comes around, every year...
It's not
I
a real thing.
I can feel a pit in my stomach knowing that we are coming up on The Purge, because I never know what's going to happen. It's a horrible thing. I don't even know why the government still has it.
It's not a real thing.
What?
It's a fictional premise.
In this sequel to The Purge, several different... scenarios are going on at once. There's a couple driving home to their kids to protect them during the purge when their car runs out of gas. They're out in the wild when the purge commences.
You don't let that happen.
You don't want
the
that.
Purge is going on.
Then there's another guy who goes out in the streets to get revenge on the man who killed his son. He's going to use the purge to his advantage. Then there's a mother and daughter on the run from their home after assailants destroy it. So these five people meet up in Los Angeles on the night of the purge and attempt to survive together. This looks better than the first Purge.
I hope.
There's a lot going on in this film, and I think it looks tense and thrilling and entertaining. Here's some clips from the trailer of The Purge Anarchy.
At the siren, all crime, including murder, will be legal for 12 hours.
Just drive. Stick to the plan.
Thank you.
Follow me.
People like us, we don't survive tonight.
Oh my God, they're taking us.
This is the last purge of the evening.
The bidding will start at 200,000.
So there you go.
So your pick is... The pick that you would make is, if you had to pick one movie to go to this weekend...
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is my pick for the weekend.
Okay, that's still out there?
I love that film.
I did too.
And these look
great.
They will also be in theaters.
Right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Hey, Dave, the King of Mexico. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Dave is in charge of the Internet Roundup videos that we put up every week for you at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. Hit it, Steve.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
We don't have time to play clips from all of the videos that you can find on the site. There's a brand new Epic Rack Battles of History that I think you'll enjoy very much. We got that one up there. Also, is this a listener-made Kevining video, Dave, this ghost video?
Oh, yeah, listener Glenn. Props to you.
Yeah, it's pretty strong.
Did you see it, Kevin? It's amazing, right?
Yeah, it's strong.
Yeah, Kevin's playing the part of Patrick Swayze with his arms around Demi Moore while she's making that pottery there, but he's doing his new Kevining pose.
Oh, it just looks so freaking creepy.
It is so well done.
Very well done.
Got a great batch of new videos for you to watch, though, including Nike knows how to make commercials, don't they?
Yeah.
Boy, they do a great job. They just make you feel something in a commercial for sneakers. And they did a tribute video to Derek Jeter, the captain of the New York Yankees, who's retiring. This is his final season. And it's everybody tipping their hat to Derek Jeter. He's up to the plate. And it's Michael Jordan is in the video, and Mayor Giuliani, and Jay-Z, and Billy Crystal. Everybody's just tipping their hat, and it's really, really well done. Listen up.
Now batting for the Yankees, number 2, Derek Jeter, number 2.
That guy is still calling out the players' names when they come to the plate.
Well, you know, he's dead, right?
Is it just on tape?
Just for Jeter.
Oh, he's the only one?
Yeah.
Oh, really? How about that?
Yeah, just for Jeter. And
at every game?
Yeah, every game. They did it in the All-Star game.
That's a nice tribute, too.
Yeah, and it's pretty funny because, you know, everyone's tipping their caps. And, you know, Bean, if you saw the video, there's Mets players.
With their faces all blurred out.
and they're blurred out because they're not real Mets players. They're
that's
actors.
Funny. Acting like they're Mets players. Because the Mets players could never do that.
Yeah,
they couldn't find a Met.
Right? Yeah.
anyway, it's an awesome new Nike video. Here's one for you, Kevin. The Golden Dive Award.
I love this because I hate this about soccer.
You know, it's so funny because soccer gets more popular every year, and I think it really made inroads with how well the U.S. men's team did at the World Cup. And I think, there were tens of millions of Americans watching soccer for the first time. And I think that was the number one turnoff to people who are fairly new to the sport is why do these players throw themselves down on the ground like little babies and pretend to be hurt when they're not?
When they weren't even touched in some cases.
Yeah. Not even touched. And the Golden Dive Award is absolutely being presented to the right guy from the Netherlands, Arjen Robben. Listen.
Does he get touched? Barely. I think rowing is going down even before there is contact.
I went to the ground without any touch. I think it's good. We are very happy. I mean, that's football.
Yeah. Robin just drives me crazy. He's got it for the Netherlands.
Kevin, you were out, but Felipe Esparza hates this guy because he's owned Cost Mexico. So he, I think every Mexican hates him.
That's right. But here's the thing about that. It works.
Oh,
not
totally.
Not all the time, but it does work. But they do then go back and show it in slow motion. The announcers will go that he was not even touched.
You heard him. He said, I wasn't touched. He's like, I just thought it would help. And it did.
God.
Frozen will never go away. Spoiler alert, if you didn't see the movie, Elsa freezes the kingdom of Arendelle. And this video picks up right after that where she finds herself in prison. Yes, Frozen is the new black.
So what's prison like?
Oh, it's just like the castle you've always dreamed of. Only horrible.
I think I have a prison wife.
What? Did you build a snowman together?
Not exactly.
Very funny. Going back to the Yankees for a second, Mariano Rivera was the closer, all-time great closer for the New York Yankees. And his entry music when he would come to the game was Metallica's Enter Sandman. Well, he retired. He's not with the Yankees anymore. So this is a SportsCenter promo for ESPN where Metallica, the guys in the band, are just calling people up trying to find out if anybody else needs entrance music or is there anything they can do. They're just sitting around the offices. It's very funny.
Now that Mariano Rivera is retired, the guys from Metallica don't have that much to do around here.
Coach K's not interested in an entrance song either.
Who's left?
John Daly?
You guys know this is for golf, right?
Yeah. Might take a while, but I'm sure those guys will find something to do.
First lesson's free.
They're offering guitar lessons in the lunchroom at ESPN just for something to do. One of the strangest album promo videos you'll ever see is for the new record by Bleachers. This is Jack Antonoff, who, of course, is the guitarist for the band Fun, and he's got a solo record that we play here on K-Rock. Really good band, really good record. They put together a 30-minute infomercial that actually ran on TV over this past weekend that looks like a telethon. If you came across this thing, you would think this is the most low-budget telethon you've ever seen. It's like watching the Eric Andre show. Yeah. And they're raising money, but they never say what their charity is called. Thank you very much. They never say what the money is. They have musical performances. They have guests that come on and do interviews. And it's so awkward and so weird, but captivating. You'll find yourself wanting to watch the whole thing.
Hey, George, give us the number, George.
Let's get the number and then hashtag match George.
Yep. Go ahead. Give us the number, Norm. Let's go. Give it to me.
Shoot it. Just keep tweeting.
What is the charity again, please? Thank you very much.
Yeah. What is the charity indeed? Very funny video, though. Check it out. Honest Trailers, who we love, have kind of made their bones by taking good movies and making fun of them so that you start to rethink whether they're good or not. You're not going to have that struggle this time because they're doing an Honest Trailer on a terrible movie, Ryan Reynolds' Green Lantern.
Ryan Reynolds stars as Maverick pilot Hal Jordan, a handsome, underachieving playboy. Kind of like Ryan Reynolds.
That's really cool.
No, it isn't.
What if Google was a guy is the next video. Is this the third one they've done like this, Dave?
Yes, this is the third version.
Because this one is awesome.
Yeah, like
this is an imagining is the Google search engine was a person, and you go in and sit down in front of him in front of a desk, and you ask your question, and he answers it for you, and you get an idea of what it's like, how many crazy things get typed into Google every day.
Vaccines cause autism?
Well, I have 1 million results that say they don't. And one result that says they do.
I knew it.
Just because I have it doesn't mean it's true!
300-pound beautiful Indian princess.
What's a surfboard?
Do you mean surfboard?
No. Surfboard.
I love that Google argues with its people who are typing, too, by the way.
Kevin, do you know what surfboard is?
A surfboard?
No, surfboard.
No.
You should Google it.
Okay, thanks.
Here's the latest in a long line of videos of people who, and by the way, if I ever go in to get teeth pulled and they put me under anesthesia, please don't film me because you're not really responsible for the things that you say when you're coming out of it, right?
This is the best.
This woman says a lot of things, some of which we can't put on the radio about how much sex she wants to have with Ryan Gosling, but here she is at the end, again, under anesthesia, just having her wisdom teeth out.
You're a hot doctor.
Okay.
It's Mommy.
Yes, darling.
I want to have sex with Ryan Gosling. It just reminds me of Kardashian. Please help me. Is this what marijuana feels like?
No, I don't think so.
Because I don't like it.
No, no.
These were a collection of vines that this girl did, and put them all together
so
for a
funny.
Video. It's
good. It is funny how her family reacts when she starts talking about all the penis she wants, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
They start slapping the video out of her hands. It's great. And finally, the ESPY Awards were a couple of nights ago. I was really impressed with the job Drake did as the host. And he also did some very funny sketches, including one with Blake Griffin from the LA Clippers. And they pretend to be each other. They're in an argument over something, and they each are dressing up as the other one and just saying and doing horrible things to try to tank the other person's career, and you get a taste of that here.
I think a lot of people are extremely confused about my face. I kind of look like a black guy that jumped into a pit of Cheetos and just laid there for like 10 days and then popped up.
I tell people I'm half black, but really, I don't know.
So what do you think Donald Sterling's message was?
That not all people are equal, and I agree with it. I'm actually glad this is being filmed. Anyway, I'm Blake Griffin, part of the dominant white race, and I would just like to let...
See, Drake is pretending to be Blake Griffin to try to get him in trouble, and then Blake's coming out being Drake. It's very funny. You got to check out the whole thing. And all these videos are available right now for you at KevinAndBean.com or KROQ.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Pull and Pop Cup, 89 cents any size every day, only at Circle K. I'm Nick Pagliocchini, KROQ Traffic.
Thank you, Nick. It is 6:54. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Nick, Polly, and Katie.
I don't think I could survive as much cocaine as he's doing. I don't think I would live through
it. I love Nick.
Allegedly.
I want him to have his own jingle because that's the greatest name in traffic.
Yeah, it's pretty strong.
Nick, Polly, and Katie.
Hey, coming up right after the top of the hour, by the way, we're going to talk about the woman that everyone is talking about. If you've seen the video of her just owning the American Ninja Warrior course in Dallas on her way to the finals in Las Vegas, she is incredible.
Mm.
It's Gymnast Friday on the Kevin Beach Show, so we'll talk to Casey Catanzaro. Coming up next, here's Ralph.
Bit of a slacker, if you ask me.
You think? She wasn't rushing?
She stands around a lot. Stands around a lot before she takes on those
But considering
those challenges.
Nobody else has ever done it.
Shaking her
and there's
hands
no
out,
timer. She's allowed.
There is a timer.
Oh, no, there is a timer. No, there's a timer, but she. It's not like she's trying to do it in the fastest possible
time.
She's allowed
actually.
To reset and breathe before she goes on to the next challenge.
No, you're trying to do it as quickly as possible because time matters in the course.
Yes, but since no one's done it, whatever time she gets finished with, that's the record.
How about get a move on? Get to work. She had a snack at one point. She brought out like peanut butter and Ritz crackers. She was
that's
smearing.
Strange.
She had raisins one at a time. She's standing there.
Did you see her stopwatch watch Modern Family between 6 and 7? I mean, that was crazy.
And it was a rerun. She had already seen it. She watched it again. It's like, come on now. Get up the spider hole, whatever they call that thing.
You're welcome to come in and tell her how weak she is.
Slacker is what I'm saying. All right, here we go, everybody. It's Disco Demolition 2, everybody.
Yeah!
Are you familiar with the famous Disco Demolition?
Barely.
It's a historic moment, Kevin. Exactly. It's at Kaminsky Park in Chicago. 35 years ago, they had a big deal where they got all the disco records in the middle of the field, and they blew it up.
Okay.
People rushed the field, and it was like the Purge. It was murdering and just random violence. It was madness.
I don't remember that part, but all right. White Sox had to forfeit game two. It was a doubleheader. They did it in between the games, and the field was in such bad shape. It was so torn up, and so many people got arrested that they ended up canceling the second game.
There you go.
Pizza first! First!
There's your disco demolition update with our resident historian.
It was 35 years ago last Saturday.
Shut up.
Well, they're doing it again. Mike Veek was one of the main people behind that event. Now he is the president of the Charleston River Dogs.
What's that?
They're a minor league baseball team based in Charleston, South Carolina. So to draw attention to his team, Veek is repeating his most famous creation with Disco Demolition 2. You better believe it.
Nope.
And he's taking all the Justin Bieber and Miley Cyrus music and paraphernalia and putting them in the center of the outfield, and he's going to blow it up.
Wait,
but
are they disco?
They're not disco.
That's weird.
Yeah, it really is misnamed.
Hmm.
But how would he connect it to the thing he did 35 years ago if he didn't call it the same
thing?
That's
true. But I don't know that anyone...
We couldn't call it Twerk Demolition Night, then no one would know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I also think that most people who have a problem with Miley Cyrus and or Justin Bieber, it's with them personally even more so than with their music.
I think their music is ass, too, but... Yeah, if he was blowing up Miley and Justin.
Now I'm in.
But just their music. Tickets to attend the game are just $1. But you have to bring a Bieber or Cyrus CD or item to blow up if you want entry into the River Dogs game that night. So,
That minor league baseball, they really
it's happened this Saturday the 19th.
Really have problems getting people to come out, don't they?
So get your game on. Manuel Noriega. Does that name ring a bell?
Sure.
Manuel Noriega. Former leader of Panama.
Panama!
He is suing the makers of Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
Why?
Because they say it makes him look bad.
Isn't he in jail?
Yes. He is currently serving time in Panama after being convicted of drug trafficking, money laundering, and killing political opponents. And he says the video game makes him look bad.
Wow.
He's a convicted drug dealer, money launderer, and murderer. And he says Call of Duty Black Ops 2 depicts him as a kidnapper and a murderer and an enemy of the state. It harms his reputation. He claims.
Don't besmirch his good name, Ralph. Come on.
It's hurting his reputation.
That's comedy.
He wants a piece of the more than $1 billion the game has reportedly made in profits.
I'm sure he does.
Look.
That'll go a long way in prison.
Without Noriega as a bad guy in that game, you don't have a lot to fight, you know? He's got a point. Every story needs an antagonist, my friend.
Hmm.
That's writing 101.
There's several antagonists in that game. It's not just him.
But he looks bad.
He does look bad in
that game.
He's not a hero.
And his skin looks horrible in that game.
That's true. Did you go away from playing that game, Kevin, and think, that Noriega is not a good dude?
I used to like Noriega. Now my opinion has changed. Did you think that, Kevin?
I don't really...
You don't think?
Think about Noriega, for sure.
Scott Disick is turning over a new leaf. TMZ.com reports, since his hospitalization for alcohol poisoning... Back on June the 22nd, he has had a serious wake-up call.
Sure.
He's really going to take better care of himself.
For a week.
Because that's what Kevin's people do. They drink until they're on the floor with pizza in one hand and a drink in the other, or their open-mouth kickback on a plane.
All right.
And then they say, oh, I'm never going to drink again. Scott Disick and I am never going to drink again. And then weeks go by, and the next thing you know, they're back on the floor with the
grade
pizza.
Grade A douche.
And it may not be Kevin's fault. He's a horrible drunk.
Wait, how did this turn on me?
Journal alcoholism. You get that magazine, don't you, Kevin?
I don't.
Journal Alcoholism, Clinical and Experimental Research Magazine, says that when you mix alcohol with energy drinks, it boosts your urge to drink. Some sort of...
I can say that's true.
...chemical composition in the brain that when you consume alcohol with an energy drink in a cocktail... It increases your desire to keep drinking compared to people who drink only alcohol.
Well, so those people are quitters.
People who drink energy cocktails mixed with their booze are more likely to engage in binge drinking. And, it says here, more likely to end up on the floor with pizza in one hand and a cocktail in the other.
It says
it right here. It's in the journal.
It's not in the journal.
Beware floor pizza, it says.
It's not in the journal.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. James Brolin, 74 years old today. Star of some of my favorite films back in the day. Capricorn 1, where they faked the Mars landing. Oh, it's a great film. O.J. Simpson
saw
that with him. Oh, it's a great film. Yeah. Amityville Horror.
Saw that.
Oh, Mother of God, I'm coming apart. He's 74 years old today. Richard Branson is 64. Wendy Williams, 50 years old today. Vin Diesel celebrates his 47th birthday. M.I.A. is 39. System of a Down guitarist, Darren Malakian. He's 39. Kristen Bell turns a lovely 34. And Chase Crawford, formerly of Gossip Girl. He's 29. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Comedian Jim Norton joins us in moments here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And the 8 o'clock hour this morning, Weird Al Yankovic will be back. His triumphant return appearance to the show. Almost 6 million people, Kevin, have watched this YouTube video that you and I have been so obsessed with for the past 24 hours. Millions more watched it Monday night on TV on NBC America Ninja Warrior. Katie Catanzaro is on the line. She successfully completed the Dallas City Finals round of the competition on Monday. Here's a little bit of what that sounded like.
Such great energy from the crowd, all of them behind her.
What? Are you kidding me? Casey Catanzaro, the first woman ever to attempt the salmon ladder, the first woman ever to complete it, and she is not done.
Oh, God, you can't get over dear life.
How she has the strength, I do not know, but Catanzaro refuses to quit on this course.
Man, this girl is not human.
I'm exhausted watching the video. I'm exhausted hearing the commentary on the video. I can't imagine how Casey felt. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm awesome. Thanks for having me. It's so exciting.
It's very exciting for us as well. I don't even know where to start. It's one of the most astonishing athletic things I've ever seen in my life. I'm sure people are asking you the secret. What's it all about? How do you do it?
Oh, you know, it is just craziness. But, you know, I grew up competing in gymnastics, so that definitely mentally and physically got me prepared. You know, and then I've been training on the obstacles. My boyfriend, Brett Stephenson, he's a veteran on the show. You know, he made history a couple years ago, so having him as my secret weapon and my trainer has definitely made a huge difference.
After you did it, when he was climbing up to meet you, I wanted him to fall so badly. I just thought that would be so funny because you'd be standing up there all victorious, and your coach and mentor and boyfriend would be on the ground. I thought that would be funny. No?
That would be horrible.
Okay, horrible. That's what I meant. I meant horrible.
I'm sure that the TV ratings would skyrocket.
Exactly, yeah.
Casey, you looked so calm while you were doing it. It didn't look like you were at all stressed out. I mean, is that just that you were just so well prepared and so well focused that you could just enjoy it? Or what was going through your head competition to competition?
It's funny. Everybody says that. You know, before I get started, you can tell I'm a little more nervous. I'm on the starting block and I'm kind of bouncing around a lot and cracking my neck a bunch. I can't stand still. But then once they count down and they say 3, 2, 1, go, it's like this wave of relief goes over me that the waiting is over and I'm finally here. So I'm excited to do it. And I do think that definitely having that excited feeling instead of letting the nerves take over makes it a lot more fun and I can enjoy it more. And I definitely do talk to myself and give myself little reminders, and that keeps me really, really calm.
Now, this show debuted in Japan. It's a Japanese show, right?
Yep. It started as Ninja Warrior.
Ninja Warrior.
Yep.
And the thing about it is, because I've been watching this for a long time, is that there are many, many seasons where nobody can complete it, and they just don't have a winner. They just go, well, maybe next season. And I always think to myself, you know, as a fat American, hey, how about making that course a little easier? But they never do.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, there still hasn't been an American on American Ninja Warrior that has completed the course, and people keep getting nervous. Like, if nobody wins, are people going to start, like, you know, stop watching it? And it's like, no, of course not. We want to see it, you know? And I think the fact that nobody has won will make it an even huger deal when someone does. And I think that anticipation is building up, and I really think that next year somebody's going to do it.
So you competed in the course in Dallas, and now you go on to Las Vegas, where we'll see you on September 1st. Now, will this be you competing against men who have won in their cities around the country?
Yes. So they take the 5 different regions, and the top 15 from each of those city finals will come and meet in Vegas. And then they take a few wild cards, too, so there'll be a little more.
Now, it is okay. Timed. I'm sorry. Go ahead, B.
The course in Las Vegas is going to be a different course than the one you've already accomplished in Dallas, right?
Yes. It will be 4 different stages, and the 4th stage is Mount Midorian with a huge rope climb.
Yeah, that seems crazy that anyone can do that. But it is timed, but you don't care about the clock because nobody else has ever made it through, right?
Well, you know, it is going to be a little bit different. In Dallas, it was timed, but the time was running upward. You didn't run out of time.
Right.
So I wanted to take my time and just get it done because I knew I could. But in Vegas, the time does run backwards. So you can run out of time and not make it.
How much time do they give you? How much time do they give you in Vegas?
It's about a little over or under 2 minutes, depending on how they change the course on stage 1.
2 minutes?
Yeah, so it's pretty challenging.
They want you to fail.
I think that too sometimes.
Yeah, no kidding.
This is the voice of Casey Catanzaro here on the Kevin Beach Show. She is a finalist for American Ninja Warrior, which airs Monday nights at 9 on NBC. I was also surprised by something else in your run Monday night that we saw, Casey, and that is that you were aware of and acknowledging the crowd that was chanting your name there in Dallas. A lot of times we talk to athletes who say they don't hear any of that because they're so focused on what they're doing. Tell me about that.
It's funny. That is so out of character for me. You know, usually, like I said, I'm super focused, you know, just kind of toned in on what's happening. And for some reason, I don't know if they were cheering louder that time or whatever it was. I think it was that whoever was yelling happened to be right next to me in the crowd there. And I just heard them and they were like, we love you, you know, over and over. And I decided to just, you know, take myself out of that moment and just, you know, enjoy the experience that was going on. So I turned back and I said, I love you guys too. Thanks. You know, and it was just like, a fun little moment that took me out of my head, and it just kind of made me more relaxed to continue on and happy to have everyone's support.
I thought you were going to sit down and start taking questions from the audience.
Sign an autograph.
Hey, you know what? I could have done that and taken a little more rest.
Yeah, true.
The play-by-play announcers were debating, even during the course, how you were helped and hurt by your size. You're 5 feet tall and 100 pounds. What on the course was the most difficult for you at that size because of your height?
You know, I would say definitely, you know, obviously the warped wall is a challenge because I am on the shorter side. Things like, you know, the swing frame after the salmon ladder where other guys could swing and reach it and I had to jump, you know, I had to let go completely of both of them and grab them again.
Right.
And things like the poles at the end where I had to jump the last one because I couldn't reach it. My height definitely hurts on those things. But on other things, you know, my weight is an advantage because I weigh so, you know, not that much. I don't have as much weight to carry around. So I've done my training to carry my body weight and be as strong as I can. And also as light and lean as possible because that's the best for the course.
It was an unbelievable performance, Casey, as you know, as everyone has been telling you all week long. But, I mean, there were times where you were climbing up some of those things that you just looked like Spider-Man. It looked like it wasn't any effort at all. I mean, do you have to conserve energy or are you giving everything you've got with every part of the competition?
You know, you definitely have to conserve energy in the aspect of, you know, taking those deep breaths in between the obstacles. But when you're on the obstacle, you definitely have to give it everything you got, you know, and then just make sure that you really breathe in between them.
What will you do between now and Las Vegas? How do you prepare?
Oh, you know, just train super hard, do the same thing. A lot of people might make the mistake and try and do a lot more between the next, you know, stage of the competition. But I know that going into Dallas, I was in my best shape, so I want to keep doing the same thing and not push it too hard and risk anything happening. So.
Well, I urge our listeners to go to kevinandbean.com right now because we did put the video up of your appearance Monday night on NBC. And Beer Mug, we put up the video of the time that you went to the Ninja Warrior course. Do you remember how well that went for you?
Yeah, man, I crushed it. Crushed it.
Yeah, he fell.
Oh, I want to see that.
Yeah, he fell at every stage.
It's harder than it looks even, isn't it, Casey?
It definitely is. There are people sitting, in, you know, at home like, I could do that. Why didn't they just hold on longer?
Yep.
I can't believe they didn't jump there, you know? And it's like, oh, come join me on the course. I'll see you there.
Well, congratulations again. American Ninja Warrior airs Monday nights at 9 on NBC. Casey, we really appreciate the time. Good luck to you in Las Vegas, okay?
Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you.
Very excited to welcome Jim Norton back to the Kevin and Bean Show. He is comedian, host of the Jim Norton Show, coming to Vice. We're going to talk all about that. New York Times bestselling author, TV, radio personality. Jim, how you been, man?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me back.
Sure. It's our pleasure. A lot of ground to cover. Sure. You have been in the news, not of your own making, a lot in the last couple of weeks. What's that firestorm been like for you?
The Anthony firing from Opie and Anthony? It's been awful. I mean, because you work with a guy who you love working with for so many years and who makes me laugh, like genuinely makes me laugh. And then it happens over a holiday weekend and then he's gone. It's literally like somebody got either kidnapped or murdered. Because like the person that you're working with every day for 10 years is just not to my left anymore. It's really, really a weird. Opie and I are kind of like, what do we do now? Like we just.
Can you catch people up who aren't familiar with the story?
Sure. For the Opie and Anthony show, Anthony was in New York. He was in Times Square. And he really does have a big camera that he's been taking pictures with. And a woman who looked kind of like the deaf interpreter from Nelson Mandela's funeral, she attacked Anthony. And he didn't hit her back. And he's licensed to carry a firearm. He didn't pull his gun. He didn't do anything stupid. But he went home and he kind of went on a Twitter rant. And, you know, he felt she attacked him because he was white, because she said something to that effect. And he was talking about violence in the black community, and he was on a rant. And it got him fired. So, you know, Opie and I are now going to work with No Anthony.
And taking heat from the fans who somehow think it's your fault or that you're a traitor for not staying home and putting yourself in breach of contract, right?
Right, which we can't do. It's like how many people, picture all of you on your jobs. You work in a warehouse or wherever you work with a guy you love. Say your friend gets fired. Are you actually just going to walk off the job and not make your money? I have to make my money. It's not
of
all,
course.
People are like, it's all about money with you. Yeah, stupid, because I have bills to pay.
I have to pay bills. I have to live.
Yeah.
Jim, it's a terrible thing that happened, but it has created quite a conversation nationally about a lot of things, including
does this mean that somebody who says something that's offensive to somebody isn't allowed to have a job? I mean, is that where we're at right now? Is that the world we're living in now?
I think it's kind of been the world we're in for a while now. Like, for some reason, we seem to excuse when people are fired for saying things we don't like. Whether it's, you know, Mel Gibson not getting certain work because he said certain things, or, you know, Donald Sterling. Look what he – I mean, like, that was the privacy of his own home. And nobody in the country had a problem with him being completely taken out of basketball. Even though the guy's a creep. It's obvious he's a creep. No, he sounds like a parrot. Like, nobody likes Donald Sterling.
Yeah, there's nothing good about him.
No, he's a jerk. But the reality is, like, you say something in private – unless all of us are willing to have our private stuff released, we really need to respect each other's
privacy. Rather not.
Yeah.
If I have that option, I'd choose not.
You have a couple photos on the phone or whatever.
Just saying,
compromise.
Were you and Opie shocked that he was fired?
Yes and no. I mean, no, because I saw the rant, and I think that Anthony was so angry that sometimes when you tweet and you're coming from such an angry place, because he's a genius at having these very, very touchy discussions on the air, and he knows what he can say and what he can't say.
How to tiptoe through it.
And also how to get his point across, because Anthony really doesn't want to come off like, hey, all black people, this is how I feel about you, because that's really not what he says when he rants. But in Twitter, each tweet has to stand like a film, a beginning, a middle, and an end. A tweet cannot need an explanation wrapped around it, because if it has to have an explanation wrapped around it, you're a dead man, because no one's going to get that explanation.
The
tweet just gets retweeted.
They're not interested in looking for it.
And they don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care.
There's no context in a tweet. So if he had stayed off the computer over the holiday and then come back to work and had the exact same conversation using the same words on the radio in context, it would have been business as usual.
Yeah, I think because, you know, usually I'm there with him and Opie's there with him, and if there's three people talking about something, and voice inflection and a lot of stuff mean, like, there's a big difference between you know, so-and-so got killed playing, we got killed in the game yesterday, and reading we got killed. Like, this, the word kill is a violent word,
right?
But you understand it contextually what it means.
Absolutely.
So, we've had a million of those conversations, and it's never been a problem. But in print, it doesn't always look good.
What do you think, are there still conversations going on between Anthony and Sirius? Do you think there's a possibility he might come back after some time away, or do you think this is irrevocably broken?
I don't know. That's a really good question, and I don't know the answer to it. I wish I knew the answer to it. Like, even privately, I couldn't tell you the answer to it, because we're up in 3 months, so I know Ant's out doing this thing now, this internet thing. He's not going to apologize. He wants to come out and do this internet show, and it's a podcast, I guess. And, Opie and I are like, okay, I guess we'll see what happens in October. We have to be there for 3 more months. But it's not like it's a year. It's 3 months. So you can do anything for 3 months.
And then your deal is up after that.
Then our deal is up. Yeah. And, me and Opie have been friends for 15 years. So it's easy to do radio with him and talk. We just miss that guy being
there.
Anthony's such a comic genius.
Yeah, it must be so sad for you personally just to not have your friend there. In addition to professionally, it makes things awkward and difficult. But personally, it has to really hurt.
Yeah, it does stink to not have your friend there, because it really is. He's my friend. I mean, he's not just some dummy I work with. He's a guy I really love. And to see this whole thing happen, it's like, and you know when it's snowballing. You guys know how it is. If there's a problem.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
You start Googling yourself, and you're like, oh, no, they went, oh, no, Gawker has it. Oh, God, no, BuzzFeed. Oh, the Washington Post. Once you start seeing
those
things.
Once the Washington Post is there.
It's a wrap.
Now, there have been people who have come out, and I'm sure you've seen this and you're aware of this criticism, who have said this is not a surprise because we believe that Anthony is sincerely and legitimately a racist person. You know him as well as anybody. True or not true?
No, he's not a racist in the sense that he does not like black people. And I know him. He comes off with things that sound like, oh, my God, why would he say that? But he says things that people are afraid to say. Like, Anthony says that there's a disproportionate amount of crime in the black community, violence-wise. And he doesn't say, black people suck. He's like, why is this not being addressed? And it's almost like a pushback against the way the press talks about things. How the press, you guys know from being in radio, white people are not victims in this country. We're treated amazingly well. But when it comes to the way the press reports things, if you guys make a joke, it's going to be treated differently by the mainstream press than if they make a joke on a black station. And that's not black people doing it. That's other white people doing
it. Yeah, agreed.
So a lot of time it's the pushback against the way kind of white people are reporting this stuff and discussing this stuff. So eggshell walking and so scared. But a guy like Anthony says something, and then the white people are comfortable going after him. It's mostly about the way white people are reacting to this stuff that the anger is coming from.
That's a really interesting point, and I think you're right. I think that some white people feel better about themselves because they are able to say, "Hey, look, not me. I'm not the one who's saying something that could be perceived as racist. It's that guy over there."
Yes, it's hiding our own ugliness by pointing out somebody else, because nobody has had more honest racial discussions sitting with Patrice O'Neill than Anthony Cumia. No one has sat across, and Patrice, no one could smell a BS faster than Patrice O'Neill. No one could personality profile better than Patrice O'Neill. And whenever I was out doing gigs, Patrice would come in from 6 to 10, and those guys would have four-hour racial discussions, right. Racial arguments, and they loved each other. And
yeah, that's one of the great things about your show. I mean, you guys will go there, and you guys will do that, and it is not comfortable, but it is also a discussion that should be had.
And this is not saying, look, like Anthony has a black friend. I'm not using that argument.
Right.
I'm simply saying that you don't argue with a guy and discuss things with a guy that mentally strong and that brilliant and be Anthony and not get called out like as a really hateful guy if that's right. Who you are. There's no one.
But then he killed Patrice, though, and I thought that was unnecessary.
It was very inappropriate. I don't think racially
that's true. I'm not positive that's true.
It was, and we didn't like it at all. Okay. Anthony said, I'm going to kill a black man, and Patrice is it. And it really bothered me a lot.
Look, I don't know Anthony personally, but we have wanted the same thing to happen to Bean, and it just hasn't yet. How dare you?
I think it would
How
be good.
Dare you?
Keep trying to feed the story to the press. Yeah, I understand.
Well, Jim, thank you for addressing all of that, because obviously it's been on our mind, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are also O&A fans who are curious to hear what's going on, too. So thank you for that. We're going to take a quick break. Jim Norton is here on the Kevin DeBede Show. He is – you're not doing stand-up or anything this weekend, are you? That's not why you're here, right?
No, I'm just promoting the Vice Show.
We're going to talk all about the Vice Show, which sounds awesome, by the way. It premieres next Wednesday at Vice.com. More with our guest Jim Norton right after this on Kevin. Jim Norton in studio with us here on the Kevin DeBede Show on K-Rock, comedian and host of the Jim Norton Show, which is what, Mr. Norton?
It's a talk show that I'm doing. It comes out next Wednesday on Vice.com. And I always wanted to do a talk show where I'm kind of like able to do what I do, like mm-hmm. just, which is be dirty. You know, I'm a creep. I'm not a good clean guy. So I want to be able to do my stand-up in the monologue and my act and interview people honestly.
And it's once a week?
We think once a week, okay. Yeah. I mean, we shot four pilot episodes, so I had four different ones. And it was like, I liked the Mike Douglas and Dick Cavett and all those guys, like, because they would have real conversations.
Right.
It wasn't all soundbite driven. Like now, and this is all talk shows, they have to do it. It's like a quick 7-minute segment. Big point,
that's
big
true.
Point, nothing real. You know what I mean? So how was the project? Ah, director was a lot of fun. You know, it's like, oh, shut up. Who cares? Like, I want to talk to people. Like, what's we talked when I came in about people who won't let you discuss certain things.
Right.
Like, for Montreal, me and Opie are going up there. They pitched Katie Holmes. Like, well, we don't know if she'll do your show, but there's a whole list of things you can't talk about.
Right.
And I get it from her point of view. But it's like, why would I want to talk to her if I can't ask about Scientology or Tom Cruise? Like, those are the interesting things.
Right. That's true.
How many conversations can we have about Dawson's Creek?
We've had the exact same thing where people say, yeah, they can come on your show, but here are things we would rather you didn't talk about.
And it's never anything boring.
That's crazy. No, it's always the good stuff.
Yeah, don't ask about him when he cuts the lawn. Okay. Right. How about the sex scandal? Yeah, he'd love to talk about it.
So as an example, I know one of your guests is a frequent guest here on our show, too, President Dana White from the UFC.
Oh, yes.
What is it that he's an awesome interview and a forthright guy? What is it, for instance, you would want to know from him?
Well, Dana's episode was interesting because him and Mike Tyson did it together. That's my first show is Mike and Dana.
Oh, nice.
So it was more me. I should have asked Dana more personal questions, but it was because Mike was there. Like, I was asking.
How do you? Yeah.
And Dana was jumping on the Mike stories because he loves Mike Tyson.
Right.
Like, Dana's like a kid around Mike Tyson. So it was mostly me and Dana just kind of asking Mike questions. And Dana talked a little bit about his. I would love to know more about Dana's childhood, not because I think I'm a psychologist, but because it's interesting because of where he's at now. And he talked a little bit about his past as a bellman and how they would fist fight in the closet over tips. Like, you know, Dana's a tough Boston
guy. Yeah, he is.
Guy. You know, people think that he's just this guy who runs the UFC. Dana's like a borderline thug. he grew up as a fighter. Like, you know, Dana's a tough dude. But interviewing Mike, who was in a great mood that day and was so open, and you know, we talked for an hour. I mean, it was.
Is he? I don't mean any disrespect in this question, but is he mentally challenged, Mike Tyson?
No, not at all. Tyson is extremely bright and completely in touch with what's going on. He's like a voracious reader. I hope I said voracious right.
You did.
I use a lot of big words.
Nicely
and
done.
Make an ass out of myself. But it's guys like him. And Ozzy, people think like, oh, they're kind of out of it. And it's like, not at all. Like, sometimes publicly, You know, Ozzy will stumble when he talks because he's dyslexic and he stutters a little bit. And then you talk to him. I went to a gig with him in the car, and he was talking about the Fukushima meltdown. Like, you know, it's like these guys are 100% on top of everything that's happening.
But you've seen Mike Tyson in the press,
sure,
really sort of be out of it and not know what he's talking about and kind of stumble around. And so sure, maybe that's where that perception
absolutely
comes.
And I know why people would say that, but he's like an emotionally – probably, you know, again, the medication and stuff like that and all those years of fighting and people around him who really didn't care about him. But you sit down and talk to him about anything, and he's extremely, like, in this situation, he was very calm and fun and 100% with it. No, he's not mentally challenged at all. He's actually really
We had him on a few times, and he always, he seems to really enjoy his life now, too, which is kind of neat. He seems to really be having a good time.
He really does, and he doesn't mind you talking about the old stuff.
Right.
Like, you know, you could talk about the Desiree Washington thing. You can talk about the Robin Given, anything Mitch Green beating, anything you want to discuss is on the table with Tyson. And that was the beauty of this. There was not one thing they didn't want us to ask about. We just had a conversation. It was so nice to not have to go, well, stay
How
away
would
from
you
this.
Make a list of things to not talk about Mike Tyson? There's been a hundred.
Yeah. Well, don't talk about the ear bite. All right, how about the rape charge? No, you can't talk about that. All right, well, how about the drug?
Right.
Did you read the – I didn't realize there were so many drugs in his life. Like, you
yeah.
know, my fascination with Tyson was when in his book he talked about, like, baseline normal. Like, his level of normal is so much higher than most people's. And now that he's sober, kind of finding out – how that's changed for him. That was interesting to me.
I was fascinated by how he got into fighting because he used to be bullied because he loves pigeons. Well, in what world? Mike Tyson loves pigeons and raised pigeons, and then he got beat up for it, and that's when he decided to fight. That's crazy.
Yeah, someone killed one of his birds, and then he snapped, and if you saw his HBO show, it was really great.
That's
yeah.
just crazy.
Yeah. He was so very forthcoming.
Wednesday nights on Vice.com, they'll put up a new episode every week, right?
Yeah. Freeway Rick Ross is one of my interviews from out here in L.A., and my co-host is a young lady named Bailey J. She's quite a delightful young lady that Mike was smitten with, and every guest I have on is smitten with. Bailey's quite a lovely girl.
So, she's transsexual, right?
She certainly is, and that's why everyone should be smitten with her. But she's actually really funny, and she's a great talker, and really, she's just a fun person. The fact that she's transsexual makes me want to marry her, but that's maybe for everybody.
You know, it's so interesting. Again, this is the voice of Jim Norton here on The Kevin Amin Show. The show debuts next Wednesday on Vice.com for free, by the way. No subscription necessary. It's interesting. You brought up some names of some past talk show hosts. Maybe some of our audience doesn't even sure. know, like Mike Douglas and people like that. These days, even the talk shows like the Kimmels and, you know, and the Fallons and stuff like that, it's almost like a variety show now. It's really not much in the way of conversation. It's really come on and dance or come on and be in a video or come on and play a game or something like that. There's very little of what you're talking about doing on this Vice show, which is just interesting people talking about interesting stuff.
Yeah, and I think this is also the internet age, too, where maybe if Cavett or Mike Douglas had to redo it, they would do it differently because of the competition you're facing now online.
Right.
Fallon and Kimmel's genius. The thing these guys are so good at is getting the online audience to be interested in them.
Yeah, like, they're both great on that.
Dude, the videos they put out, I don't care if it's Will Smith dancing or Kimmel doing this thing with kids, but man, they get 8 million people to watch something online. Yeah. For a network talk show host, that's miraculous. So you are competing with what's online. So I'm selling this thing I'm doing as a different thing. But if you were to just go on network TV and have this type of casual conversation with no necessary home run points and just talking to people, it may not do well.
Yeah.
Online is the place for it because you don't have to break, you know, back in two and two. You know, you don't have to do that
right.
online.
Like we have to do here.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, on radio, you guys got to do it. You got to pay the bills.
Right. Well, I can't wait. Sounds like a great show, Jim. I wish we had some more time, but frankly, Weird Al Yankovic is in the next room getting ready to come in.
I've met him one time. I interviewed him when I did a Leno thing for the Grammys. And
Dean worships him.
He's a nice guy, man.
No.
What success.
The best human being in the history of humans what Bean says.
You like Al Yankovic a lot?
He's the best human being in the history of humans, Jim.
I guess that was a stupid question.
Well,
when somebody tells him he's the best human being, and that's the type of crack interviewing you're going to hear in the Jim Norton show.
No, but it's hard to get anything by Norton.
It's hard to imagine that anybody would say that and mean it, though. So it does require a follow-up.
Really? Seriously?
It certainly does. Not to knock
I like Al.
Yankovic.
No, I like Al. He's great. Is he the best human in the history of humans?
No.
I don't think so.
I'd put him
what do I say, Kevin? He's twice Jesus. Am I right?
You have said that, yeah.
What is it about him that you love so much? Like, I like his music. I think he's funny. Okay, but why is he such a great person?
Bean?
First of all, it's obvious if you've met Al or watched Al on TV or listened to his records why he's a great person. He's just the best. He's the best in the world at doing something that's extremely difficult to do. He is the master of something that thousands of people try to do and can't do well. And he consistently does it album after album, year after year, decade after decade. That's why I'm so impressed with him.
Can I tell you what he just said? That's an argument he's had at parties many times, because you said that too perfectly well to not have said that.
Yeah. No, it's rehearsed.
In somebody's face before.
No, it's rehearsed.
How dare you?
No question. He may have been reading it. I'm not sure.
Vice.com next Wednesday, the Jim Norton Show. Check it out.
Thanks,
and Jim,
man.
Come back and see us next time you're in town for stand-up, too, man.
Thank you guys so much.
Good luck.
I'm just afraid that Bean is going to embarrass all of us.
Bean just said to me,
that's my fear,
Al's won more Grammys than Jesus.
Which is true, by the way. It's true.
Of course it's true. Jesus wasn't up for Grammys.
Actually, he was, oddly enough.
He was
up for
one. I didn't realize
that. Best New Artist.
And lost it?
He lost out to.
How about a little less of...
I think it was the Starlight Express.
Oh, really?
A little less of whatever it is you've come in here to sling, Ralph, and a little more getting past this and the news and whatever the next song is so we can bring Mr. Yankovic in. How about that?
See, this worries me.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried about how...
I've had Al on many times in the past. It's always gone well.
I think he forgets what you are.
Right.
And who you are and what you do. And then he agrees to come back. And it's not until he's actually in the room with you again, Bean, that it dawns on him.
How dare you?
That you're creepy.
We're going to have a great time. And if we don't, Al is too nice to admit it.
And that's good with you. You're fine with that.
I'm fine with that.
All right, good.
I can maintain the bubble.
All right.
At the top of the hour, by the way, Al's new video is supposed to be dropping on Funny or Die, so we'll keep you posted on that, but we're hoping that happens. We're all in the other room just breathlessly waiting for the clock to get to the top of the hour.
So. It's been a good week for these videos.
It's been a good week. They're very, very funny videos. I like each one as good as the next, or whatever that phrase is.
Yeah, close enough.
As much as the last.
Close
They're
enough.
All good, is what I'm saying.
Sure.
All right, let's get to entertainment news. Relax, everyone. Relax. Breathe. Harry Styles has announced he is not leaving One Direction.
Oh.
I didn't know what I was going to do.
That's such good news.
Rumors were that he was going to go solo like Justin Timberlake did out of NSYNC. But Harry has held a press conference, and everyone from around the world was there to hear the fact that he is staying with his bandmates. One Direction will go on, but just in that One Direction.
Yeah, right.
That's it.
Not branching out.
They're not branching out.
Right. Okay.
He is the kind of the breakout star, if there is one, right? The most popular of the One Direction kids?
I don't know.
Because he's got that hair and
I'm happy to not know.
Taylor Swift for a minute.
If you put them all in front of me in a lineup, I couldn't pick Harry out.
Okay.
I know one of them got hit in the knee with a shoe recently, and that made me smile.
That was great. On stage, right?
Yeah. And then he, like, hobbled around.
Yeah, that was great.
He didn't get hit by shrapnel. He got hit by a shoe. But he acted like he was shot, like he stepped in a landmine. Lindsay Lohan! Congratulations, Lindsay. She has just won a major award at the Ischia Global Film and Music Festival in Italy.
What?
She got an award for the biggest comeback.
Really? For what?
Who were her the other nominees? Was Casey Kasem on the list? Biggest comeback. What has she done? How did she come back?
Was it that movie she was topless in?
Maybe.
The Canyons?
Yeah, the Canyons.
That didn't go anywhere or do anything.
Well, I don't think it did.
It wasn't good.
But other than that, she's really done nothing.
Not like she's playing Caesar in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes or anything.
Is she?
No.
Oh, okay. No.
She is, of course, going to be starring in London's version of Speed the Plow on the West End, that play by David Mamet. But she hasn't done that yet, so that's not a comeback. I think somebody in Italy just wanted a little,
little
Lindsay Lohan action, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Give her a little limoncello and next thing, you know what I'm saying? Lights out. Lights out. This woman, this Shannon Richardson, you know her? She is
I don't.
She's an actress that's marginally successful, made brief appearances in The Walking Dead and The Blind Side. This is the woman who sent those ricin-laced letters to Barack Obama and New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Right.
She was just sentenced yesterday. 18 years in prison for sending those letters to President Obama and Mayor Bloomberg.
That seems excessive.
Well, when you try to poison the president, they don't look... They don't look fondly on that sort
of
thing.
If you send ricin to the president, that's about as serious as you can get.
That's an attempt on his life, pretty much.
Apparently the court agrees.
Yeah. Well, look, you don't.
How do you not?
I don't know. Just give him probation and a bottle of ricin.
Just surprised by, I mean, look, it was a dumb thing to do, and she should go to jail for it.
It's worse than a dumb thing to do.
I'm just surprised by the amount of time that she was given, that's all. Compared to other cases that I've heard where people have done what to me seem far more serious crimes and have not received that much time.
More serious than trying to assassinate the president, you're saying?
Than dropping a letter in the mail, yes.
She did more than drop a letter
in
the mail.
Because it's mail.
It's the mail.
He thinks anyone who does anything via the mail can't be all bad. That's what he's thinking.
My God, you are messed up.
She told the court when she was sentenced, I'm not a bad person. I don't have it in me to hurt anyone. I love my country and respect the president.
I think all of those statements are provably false. Proven wrong by what she did.
Yes.
Does seem counter to what we already know about.
What did she do to people she doesn't respect? If she respects the president.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So
maybe she respected him so much she wanted to share some of her precious ricin collection.
That's right.
I can't have all of this. I'm going to give half to you, Mr. President.
Another case of an actress gone bad. So just be careful out there, people. Because bit players
sure
will get you every time. Today's celebrity birthday.
Take your time, Ralph. Take your time. We have nothing but time.
How
sure
dare you?
A little extra you can take time. An hour.
I'm already 2 minutes into hour time.
That's all right.
I don't know. James Brolin, one of my favorite actors, starts off our celebrity birthdays today. 74 years old today. He did a TV movie once. Oh, what the hell was the name of it? I can't think of it. I'll have to look it up. And don't send it to me because I'll find it.
Send it to Ralph.
Do not send it to me. But he plays
tweet
a guy.
Him.
It was a TV movie. He plays a guy who gets locked in a department store after hours, and the department store...
The mannequin.
No.
Oh.
The department store uses Doberman Pinschers as security.
Right.
And so he is stuck in this locked department store with a pack of vicious killer Doberman Pinschers who are trying to kill him for an entire night. It's terrifying.
Yes.
I can't remember the title of it, but it was
tweet
great.
Tweet it to Ralph. If
do
you
not
that.
Tweet it. Do not send it to me. I will find out. I will go online and I will find out.
Put a letter in the mail.
Put some ricin in it. Richard Branson, 64 years old today. Wendy Williams turns 50. Vin Diesel's 47. MIA is 39. System of a Down guitarist Darren Malakian is also 39 today. Kristen Bell turns 34. And Chase Crawford celebrates her 29th birthday. Stick around. Weird Al Yankovic coming up next. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Are you ready for Weird Al Yankovic?
Indeed, ladies and gentlemen, the man has the number one album in America, Mandatory Fun, and he joins us back in studio on the Kevin Beach Show right now. Hey, Al, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you very much.
You've never had a number one album in your whole goddamn life, have you?
I have never.
Really?
I've never done it. Yeah, I am. It's kind of blowing my mind. I think I'm neck and neck with. I'm currently number one, but Jason Mraz and I are battling it out for number one on Billboard next week.
Does it go over?
It's neck and neck, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Al, what are your expectations as your career rolls on when it comes time to put out a new album? Do you have is there something in the pit of your stomach that thinks, well, maybe the clock's run out, maybe the kids aren't waiting for the next one, and then you're pleasantly surprised each time when it continues to sell?
It's a personal thing. No matter how well it does, I want it to be every album that I put out to be the best thing that I've ever done. In fact, I like to think that the new album is the best thing anybody has ever done.
Sure.
I put it up against the Mona Lisa and the Sistine Chapel.
In the history of things.
Mm-hmm. Mandatory Fun is the name of the record. It is number one. You can meet Al tonight. Is it even worth mentioning the thing, or is the line already around the block down at Amoeba for 5 o'clock?
You can still make it, sure.
All right.
Yes,
go to Amoeba Records website to get the details on how, on what you need to do to sign up to be in line for Al. What's that like for you? What are the what do people do with their moment that they've waited their whole life for to stand in front of the great Weird Al when they finally get to you?
You know, so, sometimes they tell me their life story, and sometimes they just want an autograph. So it varies from person to person.
When they're standing there in front of you and there's a long line behind them and they continue talking, how do you deal with that? Do you go, hey,
fire hose. We use the fire hose.
Let's just move along if you don't mind. Because you don't want to be rude. You're a nice guy.
Well, you just, you know, so that's why you have the handlers that have the hook. And they go, okay, moving along.
That's
let's
been
go.
Enough.
You have been doing so much press this week that I, as an Al fan, am having trouble keeping up with all the podcasts you've been on, all the daytime talk shows you've been on, the late night shows you've been on. What's it been like for you since the record came out on Tuesday?
It's just been insane. This is you know, I've been doing this for a very long time, and I've never had this kind of response. And you know, we've been doing a lot of publicity and promotion. My days have been chock full, and but I'm expecting, you know, to get the Kevin and Bean bump. I think this is what's going to really push it over the edge.
Sure. Bean comes in every day and goes, I saw Al on this, I saw Al on that, he did a podcast, I followed his Instagram. I don't know what he's talking about.
I have to start taking some time off just to be able to consume all the Al that's being put out there right now. Tell us about the every week, every day this week you've been unveiling a new video for us. You're doing that for 8 days, all eight different songs from the new album.
Right.
And this is the first time you've done anything like this before. Tell me how you came up with that.
Well, I wanted to do something that would get a lot of attention for the album, and you know, MTV isn't music television anymore, and I knew that I'd have to market this album through the internet almost exclusively. Things go viral on the internet for like a day. Things are really, you know, people are into it for 24 hours.
They consume it, and then it's gone.
Right. Like, if there's a popular video and somebody sends a link, like, the next day to somebody, they're like, what? That came out yesterday.
Seen it.
So, you know. So I figured, okay, I'll do a video for every single day this week so people will have something to be excited about every single day of the week.
Handy has come out this week. Foil has come out this week. What else do we have?
Tacky
word
and
crimes.
Word crimes.
Tacky, right?
That's right. That's right. Tacky was that word. And word crimes, by the way. That one, and I don't know how you even measure what the most popular song is on the album, because there is no single out. I don't know if you have a way to do that, but that is the one that seems to have really pushed a lot of buttons with a lot of people. I mean, that even got the NPR crowd worked out.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, there are obviously a lot of grammar nerds in that organization. As
he is one of them. He's a grammar nerd,
and a lot of people appreciated the fact that I took a song which was ostensibly kind of rapey and made it into a song that could, you know, possibly be part of a school curriculum.
A lot of people have said this is like the best thing since Schoolhouse Rock. You know,
right.
You finally are putting out something that kids want to listen to that might actually teach them things. Now, are you was this just a device that you saw that you could make a funny song out of, or are you actually in real life a little bit of a grammar nerd?
Well, I'm a total grammar nerd. I mean, if you look at my YouTube channel, which I'm sure you have been, there's a lot of videos of me like driving around town correcting road signs and correcting signs in the supermarket that say 10 items or less, things like that. So I've got my grammar nerd credentials.
Bean fights everybody when it gets to daylight savings time.
Oh. Saving. Daylight saving time.
He does, and he'll write letters to newspapers and TV stations. He's very disappointed in people who don't get that right.
Yeah. But that's legitimate, isn't it, Al? If one way is correct to say it and the other way is wrong, why not do it right?
Absolutely.
And how much can you care about that? That's my question.
I can care all about that.
I think we should just abolish daylight saving time. That's and the electoral college too. While we're at it,
I like it.
That's a great idea. Now, are you old school grammar? Like, do you still care about things like split infinitives, or are you more modern in that? Hey, the message of the sentence is still, you know, still gets through without it.
Well, you know, I threw a split infinitive at the end of Word Crimes just so the trolls could get mad about something. Hey,
excellent!
You put a split infinitive. Hey, it's a grammar song. You put a split infinitive. That's one of those things. I don't stress about split infinitives. I don't stress about Oxford commas.
Oh, that's good to hear.
But people that like confuse the three yours, you know, your, and your.
That happens a lot.
Oh, that drives me crazy.
Doesn't they should
really?
Be put down, right?
It does.
What's wrong with both of you?
Well, your, and your. What, doesn't that drive you crazy, Kevin, when you see that?
No, I see it, and I'll go, that's not right. But I really don't care.
When somebody tweets at me, you're an idiot, you're an idiot.
Well,
that's sweet irony there.
That is
I love
the best, yeah. If they're insulting you, it does make it more sweet. I agree with that.
All right. Weird Al Yankovic is here. We have to take a quick break. The album is called Mandatory Fun. It is available everywhere and should be bought by everyone within the sound of my voice. As we mentioned, Al has been unveiling a new video from the album every day this week, and the new one one for today just unveiled about 15 minutes ago. Where can people see this this one today? Because you're using a different service for each video.
Yeah, today's video is Funny or Die. Okay. They funded the video, and we shot the video with the Riverside Community College Marching Band.
Oh.
And I should mention that all the videos, including the new one, are also at WeirdAl.com, because it is, of course, your one-stop Al shot.
Of course. Yeah. Sports Song is the name of it. We'll hear a little bit of that and talk some more about that, and the record and everything else that's going on with Al Yankovic, the greatest human ever, when we return right after this on K-Rock. Weird Al Yankovic in studio with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is back with the return of a new album called Mandatory Fun, the number one album in America, by the way.
Is there an album that Bean should be less interested in than Mandatory Fun? Because I've always said Bean is funny.
Uh-huh.
He's not fun. Bean is not
but this,
fun.
But this fun is required,
he's not
though.
Fun.
I Kevin, know. I have no choice but to get fun now because it's required. It's mandatory.
All right.
Sports Song is the first video from the new album that is an original Al song, and those are some of my favorites, Al, and I don't think I'm serious now when I say I don't think you get half the credit you deserve for the great originals, and I think this is the best batch of original songs you've ever done on one album. I really sincerely mean that.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
And Sports Song is fun, and we're going to play a clip of it here for a second. Set it up for us, and how do you envision this actually making its way onto the world and being sung in stadiums around the country?
Well, that would be nice. I don't know. Maybe some high school or college marching band might take up the song, but I wrote it originally because of the big fan driven effort to get me to play at the Super Bowl,
right?
Which I should say, you know, I understand that's not ever going to happen, but it got me thinking. Like, well, if
Bean
I did,
has been on that bandwagon for a long time,
I appreciate that. Yeah. But it just got me thinking. Like, if I did, like, what would I play? I'd probably play some hits, but I don't have a sports song. I need a sports song in my oeuvre, and this was it.
This was kind of like when you wrote that birthday song a few years ago, because you realized everybody has birthdays, everybody needs a birthday song, and there were very few to pick from. So now we've got something else for sports, right?
I find the vacuum in pop culture and I fill it.
Nice.
All right, here's a little bit of Sports Song, and you can see this video at WeirdAl.com right now. It's the video of the day today. I think you're going to love it.
In fact, we play teams across the nation, and you're the worst one we've come across. Try to assimilate that information, and it just might help you cope with your impending loss. So and if somehow we are still failing to effectively articulate the points at hand, allow us now to summarize them in a manner that your feeble brains can understand. We're great, and you suck. We're great, and you suck. We're great, and you suck. You see, there's us, and then there's you. You suck. We're really, really great. In contrast, you really suck. Okay, full disclosure, we're not that great, but nevertheless, you suck.
Could have used that for the Seattle-Denver Super Bowl. That's the one you should have been playing that at.
I could totally see the fans shouting that out from the stands.
Catchy, right? Yeah.
Why don't you think the Super Bowl thing might ever happen? I think it's conceivable, Al.
Well, honestly,
you're a superstar recording act who's got the number one album in America. Why wouldn't they want you to play the halftime at the Super Bowl?
I wouldn't be able to wrap my head around
it
that.
Just seems too big a deal,
a
thing.
I mean, you know, I don't think I'm Beyonce famous, but it's nice to. I'm really thrilled and flattered that there's so many people that are trying to spearhead that effort.
And you've seen those petitions. I mean, thousands of people have signed up for it. I mean, there's genuine interest in it.
I know you're interested.
Yeah,
and you would do it just for the record,
well,
right?
I wouldn't turn that down. But I mean,
I'm busy
not going to hold my breath.
No,
yeah, right.
I have a Super Bowl party.
Did we bring that up with Rich Eisen the last time we had him on, Kevin?
Have we brought it up every day since the last Super Bowl?
And what did he say? Do you remember what did he say when we talked to him about it? Because there must be somebody at the committee at the NFL who deals with stuff like this that we can get their ear on.
Well, I'm sure there's somebody in charge of halftime. I don't know who that is, though.
All right, I'm going to make a note of that. Got to make a note of that. Al, next week is the 25th anniversary of your cult classic UHF movie.
Right.
Is that correct?
It is.
There have been rumblings on Los Internets that you may have some news for us about UHF.
I have some. It's not. There's not a sequel. If you're waiting for that, that's not the news. There's something happening with the movie, but I'm not. You'll be the first person I tell, but I can't say it quite yet. Yeah.
When are you going to have an announcement? Because that anniversary is coming soon. Are you planning it for that day or sometime sooner?
There might be an announcement at Comic-Con. I'm not quite sure, but it'll be happening soon.
Ah, Comic-Con. That's right, next week. That would be perfect. Was UHF a crushing disappointment to you at the time when it came out?
At the time, yeah, because, you know, it was being built up by Orion Pictures as, like, their big summer blockbuster. They said, oh, you're going to be our new Woody Allen. It was going to be, like, a big deal for them. But it went away quickly because it was just this little comedy movie in the middle of a big blockbuster summer with, you know.
Why would they promote it like that? They're setting you up to fail.
I know. I know. And then,
I mean,
you know,
really, you're going to be our big blockbuster. That's the worst thing you could say.
Absolutely. So, you know, it was a little crushing just because of that. It didn't do well at the box office. The critics really didn't like it. But it's as you know, it's gone on to kind of cult status over the years. It got its audience and fan base through cable TV and DVD and VHS. And now it's a beloved little comedy film.
And do you – is that one of the things that you hear the most from when fans see you on the street is about UHF?
That's one of them, yeah. I mean, you know, everybody's got their own thing that they know me for, but UHF is certainly way up there, yeah.
What is the number one thing that people talk to you about?
They talk to me about previous appearances on Kevin and Bean. They say,
no, but seriously. No, but really. What happened to the Hawaiian shirts? You get that a lot.
Well, I still wear Hawaiian shirts. I usually don't wear them out in public so much, though, because it's sort of like, you know, calling a little bit of attention to myself.
Hey,
so.
Look at me. I'm Wardell.
Right. Woo-hoo-hoo!
Can you put your hair up under a baseball cap and be kind of anonymous, Al?
No. Not
really.
Not so much. No.
Nope. The thing that's most shocking to me, and I know that people do this to you on the street because I see them do it to you in interviews all the time, is people try to sell you on song ideas. They come up to you and say, oh, I've got a pair. Al, listen, here's what you should be doing. My idea.
Have you ever taken one of those?
See, this is why I rarely leave the house.
Yeah.
But I mean, what's crazy about it is, look, Al's got parodies down, okay? Al's doing fine with that. It's like chasing down the, you know, Mike Trout from the Angels and saying, let me tell you how to hit home runs. I mean, you don't go to Al and plus, even if they had a fantastic idea, you wouldn't want to use it, right? Because
then
they sue you for it.
Yeah, but I understand it because, I mean, people think of ideas in the third grade and think, oh, if I ever run into Weird Al Yankovic 30 years from now, I'll have to let him know.
Well, you are the guy that writes song about foil. So, I mean, really, that's, you know, they're in third grade. Maybe, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm not sure I followed your point there, Kevin.
I'm just saying.
I'm just rolling with it.
All right, good.
Al, do you find that in 2014 there are still any kids playing the accordion like you did coming up?
I'm not really sure. I probably not quite as many. I don't think accordion schools are quite as busy as they were when I was a kid. But I'm trying to bring sexy back to the accordion, as you well know.
Sure.
So we'll see.
The accordion was already on the way out when you picked it up as a teenager, right?
Yeah, the Lawrence Welk show didn't do it any favors in terms of its hip factor.
Why did you pick it up?
It wasn't my idea.
Okay.
Yeah, my parents made that life-altering decision for me. So
really?
They figured, you know, when you play the accordion, you're a one-man band. You're the life of every party.
They said, son, you're not getting beat up enough. We want you to pick up the accordion.
They just didn't want me to date in high school.
All right. We got to take another quick break. Weird Al Yankovic is here on the Kevin Bean Show. I can already tell we're going to run out of questions in the available time. Hey, before we do break, I have one more mandatory fun question that I want to ask. And this is something that came up this week that I think our listeners would love hearing from you. You ran into Graham Nash last year.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
I was doing satellite radio tour in New York City for one of my children's books. And I had just finished recording Mission Statement, which was my pastiche of Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And I found out that Graham Nash was actually in the next room. So I walked over to say hi, and he comes out of the room, and he sees me. And before he can even say hi, he says, so when are you going to do a parody of one of my songs? When are you going to do a parody of Sweet Judy Blue Eyes? And I said, well, Graham, since you mentioned it, and I pull out my iPhone and I play Mission Statement for him. And he goes, oh, instant request. Thank
well
you.
Well done.
Yeah.
That must have just blown his mind that you had that in your pocket and he didn't even know it existed and it was already done.
Yeah, he loved it, yeah.
That is very funny. And here's one more follow-up question, and then we do have to take a break, because Ralph and I were debating this on the air earlier this week. Your band, who I've seen live numerous times in concert, seems to be able to play every single kind of music, whatever you throw out. I mean, if you want to do hard rock, if you want to do polka, if you want to do a ballad, whatever, they seem to be able to do it. Do they all play on your records, too, or do you bring in studio musicians to make them sound as much as possible like the hits you're covering?
No, it's the same band that I've had since the very beginning, since the early 80s. They're on all the tours. They're on all the albums. You know, they've stuck with me, and we were old friends, and I'm just grateful that early on in my career, I managed to find some of the best musicians in the world.
Do they do other stuff in between albums?
Yeah.
They have to, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're not on retainer, so they do other things, and they you know, they do other projects. Some of them have their own recording studios. But thankfully, whenever I'm on tour, they stop everything and follow me around.
Isn't that incredible, though, that's when you consider cool. how many styles of music that you ask them to do? I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find musicians that versatile.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they get quite enough respect from the general population because, you know, they think, oh, comedy music, yeah, you know, they don't realize that you need as your chops have to be as good, if not better, than normal music because you have to know all these different genres of music.
Right.
Astonishing. Weird Al Yankovic, CD signing is going to be this afternoon starting at 5 o'clock at Amoeba Records. You can go to Amoeba's website for details on how to line up and what the restrictions are. But if you want a chance to meet Al in person, that is going to be this afternoon. The album is called Mandatory Fun. It's number one, if we haven't mentioned that already. And we got one more segment with Al when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, I have Al tattooed on my penis.
Yeah, we know. We're on the air now, Bean.
Hey!
Bean, we're on the air.
Where did that come from? I don't know. We need to bring that up. That was private conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I have Al tattooed on my penis.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, Weird Al Yankovic time.
He couldn't say weird, so it was just Al.
Oh.
How dare you. From the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, Patricia writes in, please pass this on to Al. I will be showing my students in high school English class Word Crimes, his new video, not just for the educational aspect, but because he can say for us what all English teachers want to tell their kids, that they look like morons who drool if they write, speak, and text like that. So thank you, Al.
My pleasure.
Tisha writes in, don't forget to ask Al if he had to get permission from Marvin Gaye's family for word crimes like Robin Thicke got in trouble for. What's the story with that, Al?
Oh, well, Robin Thicke and Marvin Gaye's estate sued each other because, you know, Blurred Line sounds a lot like a Marvin Gaye song.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know how that got resolved exactly. I know that we just got permission from, Robin Thicke and Pharrell and the people that wrote Blurred Line. So I'm not sure,
So they might be coming after you at some point. Maybe we shouldn't put that out there.
Maybe I should preemptively sue Marvin Gaye
like
Robin Thicke
did.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a good idea.
Sue him today.
Right.
Amoeba Records this afternoon at 5 o'clock. Comic-Con next week. You're not exactly sure what you're going to be doing.
It'll be Saturday, the Saturday of Comic-Con.
Saturday, okay. Okay, great. You were telling us, because I know a lot of people are looking for tour information. Nothing this year. No Weird Al tour this year, right?
No, but the mandatory tour will definitely commence in 2015.
You have been talking a lot this week about how this is the end of your record contract, and it sounds like you're kind of joking a little bit about your 32-year deal. Clearly, at some point, you extended along the way. It didn't start out as a 32-year deal, right?
Yeah,
that wasn't the plan.
It sounds like hyperbole, but it literally has been 32 years since I signed my record contract.
Really?
Really 32 years. I signed in 1982, so if you're doing the math, that's 32 years.
But did it say for the next 32 years?
No, here's what it was. I was working in the mailroom when I signed my record deal, and it was a 10-album deal, which was a joke. Like, yeah, like, I'll have 10 albums.
Yeah, of course you laugh at that.
You didn't think you'd have 10 songs
no,
when you signed
no,
that thing.
No, but then, a few years went by, and we renegotiated the contract, as one does, and they tacked a couple more albums onto the deal.
Ah.
And then we renegotiated yet again, and they tacked a couple more albums onto the deal. So it became a 14-album contract.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And Mandatory Fun is album number 14. This is it.
So now you're a free man.
I'm a free man.
Wow.
Now, do they want you to come back and re-sign, and you've just said no, or is that company out of business now?
No, it's Sony, so they're still in business
as far as
I know. But I don't think they're going to come back. I mean, I think we both kind of smell the coffee that
yeah.
this is probably the end of the line for a while.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, look, I can understand with artists that aren't popular and don't sell, but I mean, obviously you're still making money for them. You would think that they would want to hang on to you and that the reverse would be true where you would go, I don't need Sony anymore because of the internet.
Well, I'm kind of looking forward to being an independent artist because, my label's been very supportive all these years, but I kind of feel like I could probably make a go of it on my own at this point.
Well,
or at least I'd like to give it a shot, you know.
You wouldn't have to give somebody else 99% of your royalties.
And that as well. That's a big part of it. That's a big part of it.
By the way, we are being told that Foil is the number one video on YouTube right now.
Oh, no kidding.
So that continues to be big. And the new one that we just played clips from a moment ago is Sports Song. That's Al's new video that you can see at WeirdAl.com, which also crashed a few minutes ago. just an insane week.
It's crazy.
We only have a couple minutes left, Al. I have to ask, are there any statues of you anywhere?
Because Bean has one.
Really?
Yeah.
Not to my knowledge. I had a bust of my head that a fan made me, and it's in my garage, so does that count?
Has, Has anyone ever made a Weird Al out of butter or anything like that? I'm curious because I know you have such rabid fans. I'm wondering what kind of stuff you've seen throughout the years that they've made as tributes to you.
No, I've seen a lot of bizarre fan art. A lot of it's up on the in the gallery on my website. I don't remember there being a butter bust of me, but there could be.
All right, butter people, let's get going. Come on now.
Have you seen a lot of Weird Al tattoos throughout the years?
I have, yeah, several dozen, oddly enough, and it kind of makes me want to step up my game because I figure, okay, if you've got my image permanently inscribed on your body, I can't suck now.
Yeah, you need to keep going for a long time.
I gotta keep going.
Yeah, just to justify that tattoo,
right?
Is there anyone in the music business, Al, that you feel about the way your hardcore fans feel about you? Somebody that you just geek out around?
I don't get starstruck too much, except for the people that I idolized when I was a kid. So the couple times that I've been around Paul McCartney, I become just like a sniveling fool. I just can't
put a sentence together.
Yeah, I try to be normal with him and talk to him like an adult human being, which is what I assume he would appreciate.
Sure,
but it's just hard for me to complete my sentences. You know,
I'll bet that's true with a lot of people around him, though.
Yeah,
I imagine he runs into that everywhere he goes. I
got to direct him in a video for Al's Brain in 3D for the Orange County Fair. I can now say that I've directed Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
But I did it at Coachella a couple years ago, and there was a guy from the BBC there, very proper BBC gentleman, and he was going to interview Paul McCartney before me. And he just seemed very prim and proper, and like 5 minutes before Paul McCartney gets there, he's like, I can't believe Paul McCartney's coming! He's right here!
We just had him on the show about, I don't know, a month ago or something like that. We just talked to him on the phone because he's playing Dodger Stadium.
I don't think you need to bring that up.
No, I wasn't going to bring up that you hung up on Paul.
I wasn't going to mention that.
All right. But isn't it something? I mean, there are some people who you are so in awe of for your whole life that you almost can't just be a normal person around. I mean, I was so nervous doing that interview, and I don't know if it sounded that way or not, but it's just, you know, we talk to people all the time. We talk to 3, 4, 5 guests a day sometimes, but something about having Paul on just wigged us out.
Yeah, I can certainly empathize with that.
I think that's true for most people.
What's this deal that you do that you put videos up from time to time in Hawaii where you play with an all-star band, Al? How did that get started?
Alice Cooper invited me to join him on stage for the Maui Food Bank. He's got a place in Hawaii, as do I, and as does Steven Tyler. And so Alice gets all of his musical celebrity friends together on New Year's Eve, and we do this live show. And it's for only 300 or 400 people. It's a small little restaurant on Maui, but it sells out in literally about 5 seconds, I think.
Wow.
And the price, I forget how much the ticket.
When he first came to you, did you go, what am I going to do with you guys? You're Alice Cooper.
Yeah, well, I did a couple songs on my own, and then at the end we all get together and do like an all-star jam. And that's the ones that go viral. We do like Come Together and various other things. All You Need Is Love. It's like rock star fantasy camp. Yeah. I mean, for me to be on stage with Alice Cooper and Steven Tyler and all these people is just crazy.
Oh my, it is crazy. And do you have a lot of things like that that you'd like to do more of that are not quote unquote Weird Al songs? Just be a musician, be a singer, play instruments in other people's music. Do you ever have any fantasies of that?
You know, I get to live a lot of fantasies. A couple of years ago, I got to perform with the Pixies on stage here in LA for another benefit concert.
That's
crazy.
I got
to sing. They said, "Well, you want to do a parody of one of our songs?" I'm like, no, I just want to sing one of your songs. So I got to sing "I Bleed" from Doolittle with the Pixies.
Wow,
it was crazy.
That is crazy.
So you were able to fanboy out on them the way people fanboy out on you. That's awesome.
And Al, I was going to say, there's a Pixies pastiche on the new album as well. One of the songs is meant to sound like the Pixies.
Oh, there you go. All right, B, listen, I'm sorry, but we're out of time, man.
I know we are. I know we got to go.
And is that all right? You okay?
Very grateful for Al's time here today. I know how ridiculously busy you are this week with the new album coming out. I hope it's been fun for you, Al.
It's been great, thanks.
We always love catching up with you. The new album is one of the best you've ever done. And
one
I mean
of the best?
Sincerely. You're so disappointed in that.
Best.
it is funny, though, because people always want to tell you what their favorite album is. A lot of the interviews you've done this week, people come, no, I like Even Worse better. I mean, you never know who's going to hit what way, right?
Yeah, it's whatever album came out when you were 12 years old. That's your favorite Weird Al album.
Yeah. Mandatory Fun is great, you guys. Definitely check it out, and definitely check out the new video for Sports Song available at WeirdAl.com. By the way, I'm also now being told that Tacky, your video for Tacky, has hit 11 million views now already this week.
Oh, my goodness.
It's insane. Al, it's your world. The rest of us are just living in it.
That's true.
Continued success, my
friend.
Thanks
so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Nick. It is 8:54 and time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Before I get to showbiz news, how about some tickets to the red carpet premiere of Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yay!
July 21st at the Chinese Theater. You will love this film. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm telling you that you will love it.
It looks great.
Because I plan on loving it. Chris Pratt stars, of course, the voice of Vin Diesel and Bradley Cooper. Zoe Saldana, what a great lineup, and it looks like a terrific film. If you'd like to go to the red carpet premiere, call me right now, 1-800-520-1067, and we're going to give you tickets. Five lucky winners will get a pair of passes to the red carpet premiere of Guardians of the Galaxy on the 21st. If you don't win, don't despair, because on August 1st, the movie will be in theaters everywhere, so you can check it out then. I'm being told it's the Dolby Theater.
Ah.
Not the Chinese. That's next door, I guess, in Hollywood and Highland. That's where it's going to be. It's funny to hear Al talk about Paul McCartney because he's in the news today.
I miss Al already.
Yeah.
I had a good time with Al. I think he had a good time.
He did have a good time. He's very nice.
All right, with the penis.
And you have
Al tattooed on my penis.
And you have Al tattooed on your penis.
I didn't embarrass anybody, did I? I felt like I was very professional.
No, I think it was pretty. Of all your creepy interviews, it was the least creepy.
I have a lot of respect for Al. I don't want to hurt his feelings or upset him in any way.
Yeah. There's a little more grammar talk in the first break than I expected, or could have gone with split infinitives and stuff. But other than that, I thought it was pretty strong.
Well, it made sense, though, with the success of his work.
It made sense
crimes.
Up to a point, is what I'm saying.
Right.
And then beyond that point,
how long can you talk about
it? Made
that?
Less sense and less sense, and then it sort
I see.
Of.
Okay.
And it became class.
Maybe podcast that. Noted.
Paul McCartney sat down with an interview with Rolling Stone magazine, and he said one of the nice things about Kevin hanging up on him and giving him a virus was that he got a chance to take a break. He said, no one ever tells me to rest. It was like summer holidays in school or something, the fact that he took some concerts off because he did get sick in Japan after Kevin hung up on him.
He didn't get sick because I hung up on him.
Paul said he was on vacation recently, and a little American girl came up to him on the beach and said she took a Beatles appreciation class in her school.
No kidding.
Paul was flattered. He said that was great. And then he told her an inside story that not many people know about the Beatles. She looked at him and said, nope, that's not true. We covered that in class.
That's awesome.
Paul then punched the little girl in the face.
I don't think that's part of
the
story.
That's what he should have done. He should have said, I'm Paul of the Beatles.
I am a Beatle.
Tell your teacher to pound sand.
I sense from that interview and others I've seen with Paul McCartney that it's a constant frustration for him to have so much misinformation and so much myth and legend out there about the Beatles when, he does know the truth about a lot of things, and it's not the way we think of it.
He was there and all.
He was there, right.
He was the guy.
It's funny, that little girl just...
Nope, that's not how it happened. Sorry, Paul.
Sorry, Paul.
Sorry, old man.
It's not it.
It's not the way I learned the Beatles history in school. Gisele Bündchen, congratulations. Forbes magazine has dubbed her the top earning model in the world.
Yeah.
Last year, she raked in $47 million.
Just last year.
Just last year.
Alone. I don't understand that because she's very, very pretty, obviously, and she's good at being a model. But couldn't you think of 50 other women that are prettier?
Look, it's like any facet of the entertainment business. If you have a name, if you have a certain amount of recognition, you are automatically more desirable to the people who buy, who hire, than if you are equally talented but you don't have that cachet. They want to be in the Gisele Bündchen business so that they can say, I've got Gisele Bündchen modeling my clothes
or
selling my perfume or carrying my umbrella or what have you. And the same thing goes, it's an endless source of frustration for like people in the voiceover industry. Friends of mine who are full-time voiceover actors, brilliantly talented, can outperform anyone in any given cartoon or commercial spot, but they would rather get fill-in-the-blank, whatever B or C level celebrity to do that same project because they get to say, but we have Screech from Saved by the Bell as the voice of the dog.
Although he's not voice of anything.
He's not the voice of anything. Right. No, I'm just giving you an example.
Good.
And Mel Gibson has offered to help Shia LaBeouf deal with his problems with alcohol.
Oh, good.
was Hasselhoff busy? Apparently, the National Enquirer says friends of Mel contacted Shia LaBeouf's camp and said he was there for him anytime. Shia, however, was not responsive to the offer. He is half Jewish. And he remembered Mel's anti-Semitic tirade back in 2006.
There was that.
And according to sources, told Mel Gibson's people to F off. All right. And then Shy put a bag on his head.
I don't think that
I am not famous.
I don't like it.
Broadway legend Elaine Stritch has passed away at the age of 89. You may not know her work because she was primarily a star of Broadway. If you're not a theater person, you may not know the name. But you know her work on television because she played Jack Donaghy's mom on 30 Rock.
Oh, yeah,
she
sure.
She was the hilarious, hilarious actress who played Alec Baldwin's character's mom on 30 Rock. She was terrific. She was also supposed to be in the original Honeymooners TV series with Jackie Gleason. But Jackie thought her voice was too low and she sounded like him.
So really?
She got fired just before they went on the air.
No.
And she was. She tells a great story, too, about she was supposed to be the lead in Golden Girls that Bea Arthur eventually took. But in the audition, she dropped an F-bomb on the writer, and the writer refused to hire her.
I think I would hire her because of that.
I do, too. I think I like
be positive.
Spunky old broads.
She was funny.
She's a funny lady. Today's celebrity birthdays. James Brolin is 74. That movie was called Trapped, by the way.
Trapped. Makes sense.
Where he's in a department store with vicious Doberman pinchers.
Hey, that could happen.
It could happen. You don't know, man. He's 74 years old today. Richard Branson, 64. Wendy Williams turns 50 years old today. Vin Diesel's 47. MIA is 39. So is System of a Down guitarist Darren Malakian. Kristen Bell's 34. And Chase Crawford turns 29 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Earlier this Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we talked to Ralph about a new film in theaters today called Sex Tape. I know I don't want to see Jason Segel naked. I don't think I want to see Cameron Diaz naked. But I sure as hell don't want to see Rob Corddry naked. I know that.
Are
Rob,
you kidding?
You're not naked in Sex Tape, are you?
I'll get naked right now.
Yeah. Welcome back, man. How are you?
Hey, good to talk to you guys. I'm really good. Been a long time.
It's always a pleasure to have you on. You know, usually we run into you down at Comic-Con. You going to be there next week as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you taking Children's Hospital down there or something else?
Yeah, we're doing Children's Hospital, just an abbreviated thing. Me and Rob Hubel are going down, and that's basically it. I got a couple other things. There's a hot tub, too, panel that I think I'm going to have to miss because of Children's Press. But, you know,
what
I
are you
go down
do?
There for the fun. I love it down there.
It is crazy central.
It is nuts.
Yeah. What is it you love? Is it the people watching? Is that what you love about Comic-Con?
Yeah. I'm a big comic book nerd, but yeah, I think you know what it is? My theory is that it's kind of like a comic book nerd sex convention. They're like, this is what they do. I'm convinced that they just go, they look at comic books during the day, and they just bone all other nerds all night long.
Yeah. Are there a lot of furries that come to Comic-Con too? Do you think?
Hope.
Right. What's your take as a comic book nerd? What's your take on all the big news out of Marvel this week with the female Thor and another Black Captain America? Has your world been rocked?
Well, how many Black Captain Americas have there been?
That's a good question. I think there was one other. I think is what we were told. But a female Thor, Rob, are you down with that?
Well, you know what? Listen, whoever is worthy of holding Molinar is worthy of being Thor.
Okay.
So I actually bought the last Thor book yesterday, I think, which leads into the whole transition. And I'll get back to you.
All right. Okay. It's kind of like, look, I didn't vote for the man, but he's our president of all of us. It's kind of like if you've got the office, you've got the responsibility.
When it comes right down to it, I mean, who cares?
Rob Corddry on the line. He is in the new movie Sex Tape, which looks very dirty and potentially very funny, Rob. But we trust your opinion more than ours because you're in the movie. Tell us.
Yeah. It's both of those things. You pretty much know from the first 2 minutes of the movie what you're getting. It's really, really funny and just kind of like, I think people are going to be a little bit surprised at how kind of sweet it is. And Cameron Diaz is pretty naked in it. So who said they didn't want to see her naked?
Dean, that was me. That was me. I don't know. There's something about her, and I can't put my finger on it because if I just look at her part to part, I go, okay, she's got pretty eyes, she's got a pretty mouth, she's got a pretty face, she's obviously fit and thin. I mean, it's all the pieces.
What else is there?
So all the pieces. With you then.
Maybe it is with me. There's just something about her. I mean, I think she's pretty, but I guess I've never really thought she was sexy. Maybe that's what I mean by that. You know what I'm talking about?
I gotta, I got to put my two cents in here.
All right.
Well, you know her, though. See, you have a totally different relationship with her because you know her and you're presumably friends with her. So she seems way different to you than just me who's seeing her on the TV or on the movies.
I guess that is a – my opinion has been colored by her radiant personality, sure.
Yeah, yeah. But, and I saw her on Conan last night, and she was delightful and funny and seems like a sweet girl and somebody you'd want to hang out with. But for whatever reason, I don't try to undress her with my eyes.
Well, let's ask Rob.
You've had zero bad things to say about her so far.
No, I've got nothing bad to say about her. I really don't.
I love that you sound super confused by it, too. You're like, I don't know.
They're all positives, and they add up to a negative, and he's not sure why.
Yes. It's very troubling. I wish she gave me a boner. She just doesn't. I don't know why, Rob.
However,
I'm sorry about that.
You do, Rob.
I give you a boner?
Yes, you give Bean a boner in a big way.
Good for me.
Before we go, Rob, and Sex Tape is in theaters everywhere today. Go see it, and I guarantee Rob will be the funniest part of the movie. You gave an interview in the press leading up to this film where you talked about your own real-life sex tape. Now, you're also a prankster. Were you kidding about that, or is that a real thing that you did?
Oh, wait a minute. What did I say?
You made a sex tape.
What kind of idiot would go on national TV and admit something like that?
I think
the
you
Cordry
would.
Kind.
I think Cordry would.
I got to tell you, a day later, I changed my 47 character password on that to another 47 character password, completely random numbers.
So it still exists.
I realized I was like just challenging hackers to come and get it.
Yeah,
which was stupid.
Yeah.
But it exists. It's not
the thing that surprised me about
anywhere.
It, though, is it's a pre-wife sex tape, as I understand it correctly, right?
That's right.
Now, your wife would in no way want you to still think about that or have that or talk about that or like that. I mean, that should be burned the minute you married her.
Adorable. She thinks it's adorable.
Really? Yeah. Is it because you were 11? Like, what's the out here?
Because it was 11. This is the tape of me getting molested.
It started out just you going to confession, but what happened next will shock you.
As a matter of fact, I want it to get out. I need the cops involved. No, my wife has a very, very easygoing attitude about all this stuff. And she also feels very secure. And, you know, she knows where I stand.
Sure.
It's a blurry old VHS. It's, you know, nobody can hardly make anything out.
But, Rob, if I'm you, I erase that. I really
Why?
Do. Because what's the upside? What's the downside? The downside could be huge.
The downside is huge. Well, no. Who cares? What do you mean? What's the downside?
To get it out? Yeah.
I don't care.
Do you perform admirably?
Yeah, you're fine. You're
okay.
Fine.
All right.
I mean, for 11, his stamina was impressive.
Yeah.
All right, Rob. Well, listen, you've made a lot of bad choices in your life, and this is maybe just the latest. So keep doing what you're doing, son. It's working for you. The film is called Sex Tape. It's everywhere in theaters today, starring the hilarious Jason Segel and the very, very pretty Cameron Diaz. Rob, always a pleasure. Maybe we'll run into you next week down in San Diego. Thanks for the time, man.
I hope so. Have fun down there. It was good talking to you.
We will. Thank you,
Rob. Right.
Bye-bye.
See you. One more showbiz beat for the week coming up, and we sing that Don't Bogart song. But before we get there, we want to give away some more passes for San Diego Comic-Con. It is sold out July 24th through the 27th at the San Diego Convention Center. Just talking about that with Rob Cordry. So we're giving away two pairs of passes right now. Ralph, what's this game called?
It's called the Comic Contest. That part of it. Comic contest for today. You know, we've done different sort of comic book superhero trivia all week long. Where would the heroes be without someone to fight?
Okay. Of course.
Unless the heroes have a suitable and powerful supervillain to do battle against, there would be nothing interesting about them.
That's true.
You don't need a police force if there's no crime.
That's right. So we pay tribute in this particular game to the supervillains. I will name for you a classic comic book villain, and you have to tell me who his arch nemesis is. What superhero battles that villain? Now, keep in mind, many of these villains do fight occasionally other superheroes, because in the Marvel and DC universe, sometimes they mix it around, and you have that kind of thing. But this is primarily who they battle. Historically, this has been the arch villain for that particular superhero.
All right.
Sounds good. Let's start with Andrew in Anaheim. Hi.
Hey, hello.
Hey, Andrew. Here is your supervillain. Give me the superhero that he battles most often, Captain Boomerang. Captain Boomerang.
Flash.
Flash, indeed. Flash. Well done, sir.
Nicely done.
Captain Boomerang.
Pretty low-key, though, Andrew.
Good day, mate. I'm Captain Boomerang. I'm Digger Harkness. I'm Captain Boomerang.
Really? Kevin Amin's people, by the way, the nerds who go to the Comic-Con, have been very impressive this week. You have to give it. You have to give it up for us.
Kevin and Bean's people?
Yeah, I mean, we let Ralph come in and read the questions, but obviously these are our people that we've been shoulder to shoulder with at Comic-Con for decades now. I'm just saying they're really turning out in force and very impressive on the show this week.
Let's go to Jeff in Los Angeles. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, guys.
Jeff, your supervillain is the Vulture. The Vulture. Man? Who's that?
What'd you say?
Spider-Man.
Well done, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, Vulture is Spider-Man's supervillain. We're two for two.
How about that?
Just for those who don't know, I do, of course, but what does the Vulture have? What kind of superpowers?
Why don't you tell the people?
Since you're hosting the game, I don't really want to step on your toes.
I'm happy to share the spotlight. Like, go ahead. Tell everyone about the Vulture.
Look, I don't want to show off. I'm just saying, why don't you tell them what the Vulture does or has or is?
You're an idiot for asking that question.
Clown shoes.
All right, let's go to Chris at Anaheim. Hi, Chris.
Yes, hello, Kevin and Bean.
Hi there.
Hey, Chris, here's your supervillain. Give me the superhero, Toy Man.
Superman battles Toy Man.
That's right. Well done.
That doesn't seem like a fair fight.
Toy Man. You have no idea. Toy Man is one of the most deadly supervillains out there. He makes deadly toys.
Oh, wow.
Like he throws a slinky at Superman? What does he do?
Oh, you don't know, man.
Let's go to George in Chatsworth. Hi, George.
What's going on? What's
up?
Hey, George. Here's your supervillain. Name the superhero. Kingpin. The Kingpin.
Kingpin, Daredevil.
Well done, sir.
Look at you. We're 4 for 4, by the way.
This is excellent. We're just crushing
about that.
Not only are we 4 for 4, but contestant number 5 is a lady.
Wow.
Adriana.
Lady.
In
Hello?
Palmdale. Hi.
Hi.
No pressure, Adriana, but you are representing your entire sex on this in this game.
No pressure.
All the boys have gotten their answers so far. Let's see if you can get yours.
Okay.
Here's your supervillain. You have to name the hero who battles him. The Killer Moth. Killer Moth.
Why do you give Kingpin an easy guy? Come on.
Killer Moth! He's been around forever.
Doesn't it just seem like a can of Raid would take care of that? Do you really need a superhero in the mix? The
Killer Moth.
Oh, my God.
What do you think there, Adriana? Any guess, even?
Just a guess.
Black Widow. I have no idea. What, you guys? No. Can I get another one?
Yeah, can she get another one?
Please?
I'm sorry, no. Batman is the answer we were looking for this time, but thank you for playing
Batman
anyway.
Killer taking on the Killer Moth.
It's ridiculous.
Why is that ridiculous?
Matt in Los Angeles.
He's a killer moth.
Morning, guys.
There's no such thing as a killer moth.
He will bite the hell out of your sweater and put all kind of holes in it.
Hi, Matt. Doesn't that sort of seem like a waste of Batman's time to deal with the moth? Couldn't Robin handle the moth while Batman is off fighting actual crime?
Little piece of trivia. It was Batgirl's very first villain she battled was a killer moth.
Oh, sure.
So there you go. Matt, here's your villain, the Mandarin.
Iron Man.
Boom.
There you go.
Boom. You know.
That's the first one I would have gotten. All right, let's go to Jordan in Sherman Oaks. Hi there.
Hi.
Jordan, here's your villain, the Abomination. The Abomination.
The Abomination. The Abomination.
Hulk. The Hulk?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're looking for the Hulk. Sorry about that. Yeah.
Hey, I knew it after he gave the answer.
Thanks for confirming what I said.
One more, Ralph.
One more?
And we have Josh in Irvine. Hi.
All right, Josh. Hi. The Black Hand.
Is that a Daredevil?
No, I'm sorry. Green Lantern. Green Lantern battles the Black Hand.
Sorry about that.
If you read the Blackest Night arc, it was awesome. Black Hand was just turning people to zombies.
Sure.
Sweet.
Is it just a Black Hand or is it attached to a black man?
He is not black at all.
It's just a Black Hand.
Oh, he's not?
He's a white guy who's known as, his last name is Black and he's known as
Black. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. Andrew, Jeff, Chris, George, Matt, all on the running. Only two can win. Passes for the sold out Comic-Con at San Diego Convention Center next week. Beer Mug, who are our winners, please?
Jeff and George.
Jeff and George.
Jeff and George.
Congratulations, Jeff.
Yay.
See you next week. Congratulations, Yay. George. You're going to Comic-Con.
Sweet.
Thanks
awesome.
Thank you for playing the game.
Nerds.
I just want today to be over.
Because I'm tired of hearing about Weird Al.
Just let it be done.
Look, I love Weird Al. Yeah. I really do. I like Weird Al a lot.
I'm liking him less and less, though.
It's just B won't shut the F up.
Don't hold my love for Al against
Al.
Well, don't
drive us crazy with it.
Just give us a break with it, for God's sake.
Just a couple of seconds without saying how great he is.
It's amazing how well he's aged.
We like him. Don't turn this on him.
Looks good.
He hasn't aged at all in the past 20 years.
As much as I love Al, and as much as that was the highlight of today's Kevin and Bean Show, and if you missed it, please check out the podcast later on today for a full hour of Al. Really, this moment is what I've been looking forward to, because Beer Mug has something he wants to share with us, you guys.
What? What are you talking about?
We're going to do it at the end, but we can do it at the beginning.
Oh,
were
we? I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. I thought we were doing
it. Oh, something going down the end of the table there with Omar?
I didn't realize that. I thought we were doing it at the beginning.
Now you've done it. Now we have to do it.
All right, let's do it then.
Beer Mug, you are going to appear someplace for a sticker hit, right?
Yeah.
You got a sticker? You have for the new K-Rock sticker?
Yeah, I'm going to
You have information? What? Don't get testy with me. I'm giving you a chance to promote your appearance, but you must do it as a freestyle rap. That's how you must do it. You must get all the information out in a freestyle rap
form. So no beats.
But no beats.
He just raps.
Just freestyle your information and get the information
That's
out there.
That's the rule. Just do it or don't.
You heard how I rap
Do it or don't.
It's terrible.
Do it or don't.
All right.
My English teacher wanted to flunk me in junior high.
Nope. You Mugs.
Really?
Freestyle rap, the information.
Where are you going to be today?
We're going to find you and where can we get the K-Rock sticker?
All right. I'm going to try. Yo, if you want tickets in the new sticker, bring your folks, y'all. Because today, from 1 to 3, I'll be at the Oaks Mall.
Boom.
That's all you got?
He just dropped the mic.
If he could drop the mic, he would have. But it's connected.
That's from 1 till 3 today at the Hot Topic store in the Thousand Oaks Mall. Beer Mug will be there with Slightly Stupid Tickets, Pennywise, the 1975, lots of other K-Rock prizes. Details at krock.com. Don't forget, put that sticker on your car, fill out the back, send it in, or register online to win a 2014 Dodge Challenger, a trip to see the Black Keys anywhere in North America, plus a $500 Hot Topic gift card. Ralph is here now. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Put the sticker on any car, fits all size. Get some tickets for Pennywise.
Nice.
See, that kind of stuff.
And you did that right on the spur of the moment.
Boom. Boom.
Come on, Mugs. You like beats?
I do.
Doesn't mean you can rap.
Just have to rhyme the last word. That's all you have to do.
I bet Al could have done it.
Sure, Al's the best.
Man,
he's aging so well.
He looks good. He really looks good.
All right, let's talk about the final showbiz news of the week. Disco Demolition 2 is going to happen this weekend. Saturday, tomorrow. All you folks going to the Charleston River Dogs game. They're in Charleston, South Carolina. The River Dogs. Come on, dogs. The minor league baseball team. They're going to have Disco Demolition 2.
This seems ill-conceived.
You may not have ever heard of Disco Demolition 1, but it happened 35 years ago, where a DJ in Chicago took a bunch of disco records and put them in the middle of Kaminsky Park in Chicago and then blew them up.
What that? Was that sort of the end of disco for a while?
Well, I mean,
it was a rock station.
That was the backlash against disco, personified, right.
Right, but disco continued on well after the disco demolition.
Hey, turn on Kiss FM. Disco still continues on.
Turns out the demolition didn't really demolish anything.
Yeah, that's true.
Except for Kaminsky Park.
Al tattooed on my penis.
All right, take it easy. We're talking about something else.
So the same guy now is the president of the Charleston River Dogs. And he is going to do Disco Demolition 2, but this time, what's he blowing up? Not disco. No. The music and paraphernalia of Justin Bieber and Miley Cyrus. Boom!
But is he calling it Disco Demolition 2?
Disco Demolition
2. But that has nothing to do with disco.
No, it does not, sir.
Well,
It is ill-advised.
What's up with that?
I don't know. They're trying to get people to go to this freaking baseball game. Tickets are just $1, but you have to bring a Bieber or Cyrus item with you to blow up. Those are the requests.
I think I'm still not going.
Can I pay $2 if I don't blow anything up? Mike Sorrentino has announced he doesn't want to be known as The Situation anymore.
Well, nobody was referring to him as Mike or The Situation for the last 2 years.
He's tired of being just pestered with The Situation name. He said, that's not me anymore. Now he's just Mike Sorrentino. So just
well, they forced the name on him, right? Somebody gave it to him and made him use it, right?
Everyone just dubbed him that and started yelling it at him. And that poor guy, he didn't have anything to do with that.
He called himself The Situation. He referred to himself as The Situation.
I don't think so. Yeah. I remember that show pretty clearly. I don't remember him using it at all.
He did, though.
If you do get into a situation, I want to make sure that you are situated. Because if you do get into a situation with your situation, you may end up with a situation, and you may not like that situation.
See? Well, the evidence suggests that he did, in fact, use it, Ralph.
I'm so glad he's gone.
Yeah, me too. That show was really annoying.
Yeah.
And everyone's talking about how the stars of The Big Bang Theory haven't renewed their contracts yet for their final season, which is supposed to begin filming on July the 30th, a week and a half from today. So will we get a last season of The Big Bang Theory is the question. Reportedly, the stars of the show, at least three of them, Jim Parsons, Johnny Galecki, and Kaley Cuoco Sweeting, who are negotiating as a package, are looking to up their $300,000 a week salaries.
Wow.
To $1 million per episode.
Wow.
Wow.
$1 million.
That show makes bank, though, right?
Yeah, it's certainly one of the most popular shows on TV.
It's a huge, huge hit.
First run and syndication.
And right? I can't blame them for trying to cash in on their final season. Simon Helberg and Kunal Nayar, who currently get $125,000 and $70,000 per episode, respectively, are looking to get big salary bumps as well. So as of yesterday, CBS said, don't worry, everyone will be taken care of, and she's very confident the new deals will go through.
All right.
When do we hold out for our $1 million an episode contract?
I don't think they care whether we're here or not, Ralph.
I think you're right.
With that they might not even notice if we didn't come in.
With that in mind, let's start the weekend. Today's celebrity birthdays. 74 years old today is James Brolin. Richard Branson is 64 years old. Wendy Williams is 50. Vin Diesel's 47. By the way, Wendy Williams, one of our listeners, a regular listener, wrote in and said, my crotch is constantly confused because I think sometimes I'm attracted to her, but I'm pretty sure she's a dude, Wendy Williams. I can see that. I can't see why you're attracted to her, but I can see why you think she's a dude. Vin Diesel's 47 years old today. MIA is 39. System of a Down guitarist Darren Malakian is also 39 today. Kristen Bell is 34. Do you want to build a snowman? That's her big number from Frozen. And Chase Crawford is 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning, by the way, we have Weezer coming in studio to world premiere a song. How about that?
That's great.
Fine. They're no Weird Al's.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
All right, Americans, let's take it from the top.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Well, I think we all can agree on the fact that you.
Roll another one.
You sound like an unbelievable douche.
Just like the other.
Yeah, I forgot to find a clip for this part.
You want to rap? Rap it or?
Beer mug, where are you going to be today?
Thousand Oaks, go!
Roll another one.
What a sucker Kevin is.
Just like the other one.
I'm an entertainer and I miss my audience.
Gene Baxter and Kevin Ryder were lying.
I don't have another cent.
Being terrible has never prevented success in the music business. Look at Biz Markie. Or
I'm
a bad kid. I'm a big boy for this.
Say Queensbridge. Say Queensbridge. Queensbridge, yeah.
And get out!
But
go!
That's all I've got. I'm sorry to have wasted your time.
Good looking out, kid. It's awesome. Keep doing the right thing. You make America proud, and Uncle Sam's proud, and Jesus just had a little tear because he's so proud of you. Awesome.
Well, I would say I'd give a lot of credit to the crowds because they're still here. Anybody else would have gone home.
The end!
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Yeah, I mean, I have Al tattooed on my penis.